Hey there. Welcome. Welcome.
Gee, Scoop. I don't think Mr. Willikers.
What happens when you do the show very late at night? My voice is not what it's supposed
to be. It's the 10,000 volt fan, Scoop.
Remember when every hack comic did a
Scooby-Doo
bit?
It's that, isn't it the trusty old lighthouse keeper, or it's the, was it the museum curator? Isn't that always who it is?
I would have gotten away with it if it wasn't for you pesky. There was a time when...
He's always like, I just wanted to keep interest in the museum so it didn't get shut down or something. Isn't that the plot?
Nobody was coming to the library anymore.
Yeah.
Look, but every comic, every brick wall ham and egg comic would have a bit about smoking weed and eating Scooby snacks, right? How high do you got to be till you think your dog talks?
They're in a van with a talking dog.
Yeah.
In the 70s.
Yeah. Now, was Velma a lesbian? I don't know. Boo. I'd turn her. I'd flip her around. Get her in that skirt.
Welcome to Joel Radio, everybody. My name is Joel Fregamenti.
It really was every comic.
That is Corey Hall.
I'd say one in
It's a stock premise.
I'd say one in five comics.
It's a stock premise.
In the late 90s.
Obvious
mid-90s
premise.
Had a
yes.
Smoking weed with Scooby and
absolutely
Shaggy.
They certainly did. So welcome to
what
Joel
is
Radio.
Today's hack premise.
Today's hack premise is I'm gonna go over the retreaded ground of the Winter Olympic suck. I think
that's been done.
Today I'm gonna have my review of the all-new Tonight Show with Jimmy Fallon.
Oh, wow.
I know people have been waiting for my review of that, so I will be giving my opinion on that, which you know, I've talked a little bit about Jimmy Fallon in the past, and I think people know where this is going to go. So,
well, look,
and
Leno is finally dead.
Leno is dead, but you know what?
Ding dong, the witch is dead.
But unfortunately,
and here's the new boss.
Yeah.
Same as the old boss.
New boss, worse than the old boss. Well, I'll get into Jimmy Fallon. I'll get into it because I spent a lot of time talking about Jimmy Fallon recently to people.
You're kind of getting into an Ahab situation here. This is
I need to take down Jimmy Fallon.
You're like turning into Humphrey Bogart. You're going to launch a court martial investigation. Who ate that quart of strawberries?
My feeling is, I'm going to get into Jimmy Fallon. I don't want to do it now.
Sounds so good.
This is the warm up
to
the show.
What else is on the show today,
We're
Joel?
We're gearing up. Well, I got to talk about what's going on with. You know, Omera's comedy night is next week, Thursday, as you're hearing this. So it'll be the Thursday coming up if you're listening to this now as it just comes out. But that would be February 27th in Berkeley, Michigan. We are taping the open mic for distribution right here on Joel Radio.
All right.
So you'll get to hear that. But if you're in town, if you're in the Detroit metro area, please come out to Omera's and see it live. It's going to be a great show. I have an all-star lineup of comedians. And by all-star, I mean Corey. That's one of the stars. Here's the thing. I have a some star lineup. Is that a fair? That's not a term you ever hear much.
Sure.
I have a some star lineup. And then I believe, again, name subject to change, but I believe Lauren.
Since Live Aid. It's such a lineup been assembled.
Right. But I believe Lauren Uholic, who was on the show last week, is going to be appearing.
Okay.
I believe Samantha Rager, who was on the show last week, is going to be here.
Two fine ladies.
And we also have another very cute girl named Haley Zurich, who's a funny comedian.
No, she has not been on the show
Haley's not been on the show, but you'll hear her there.
But don't worry. We'll get her.
Haley's been invited but not been able to come in the past. But she is subject to change. She will be at Omera's Comedy Night. And we have the comedy of, I forget who the holds on the list, but it's a good list of guys. And but again, it's an open mic, so some guys might eat it. Some guys might
Earthquake's going to be there. Bruce. Shucky Ducky. Marv Welsh.
Freddie
Roman.
It's guys.
It's a night of too many stars.
It could be anybody that's in town, you know, because there's going to be comedians that are working the various clubs. Some of those guys might come out. So I'm still putting the word out there. I'm letting people know that the show is happening next Thursday, February 27th. And we want everybody to come out. It's at 10 o'clock. And be part of it. It's going to be recorded. I did a very good recording If I can just get... Can I get technical for a minute? Do you think the audience cares about this?
Oh, it's never stopped you before.
Well, my point is that, you know, I tried recording this on two devices. I have a Zoom H1 field recorder, which records on two stereo microphones. And I set that up on a mic stand at the sort of behind the stage, so behind the comics, okay? Then I set up... What are you laughing at?
I'm thinking about in the old days, I would have been playing the... computer tape music.
So then I also have an older it's an iRiver MP3 player that does line in recording. I hooked that up to the board to get a direct sound off the microphone. Okay.
Oh, wow.
I took these two recordings, I put them in, I made them, you know, started them as simultaneously as I could. I put them into Audacity. I lined them up so that it sounded good. And I put them together, and it sounded terrific. This was the last show in January. But here's what happened is, you know, I lined it up for my set. I was first, and I'm listening, and it sounds very good because you hear the crowd. You hear the mic direct. It sounds all professional. It sounds like a comedy album. It sounds great. Then I get to the second comedian, and I go, oh, he's a bit off. Like, things are not syncing. I get to the third comic, and I'm going, what is – maybe there's too – he was too loud. Let's go to the fourth. And it, by the time I got to the end – the whole thing was completely ununderstandable.
Unintelligible.
Yeah, unintelligible. You couldn't make out what that was. It was like,
that was just from the comics.
Well, it sounded like Lou Gehrig when he gave that speech about, I am proud, you know, I consider myself the luckiest man.
Did it go out of speed?
On the face, face of the earth. Well, I was trying to figure out what's going on. Why do these are lined up for a while? And what it turns out over the course of 90 minutes, what it appears, though, even though I recorded them both in MP3 format at the same bit rate, it appears that one of them recorded a tiny, tiny bit faster.
Right.
And over the course of 90 minutes, I think it threw it off by like 0.003 of 1 second.
That's all it takes.
But it was enough to throw it off.
That's all it takes.
So I had to sit there and try lining it up. And I must have tried for hours lining these things up. And I couldn't get them to line up because I would line up the end and then the front was bad. And I figured out I had to use something called a tempo adjustment in Audacity to make it work. And basically what I did is I sped up the one tape to make it sound like the other one. But when you do tempo, usually when you speed something up, it affects the pitch. So it would make it sound higher. It would make you sound like a chipmunk. Now, 0.003 of a second isn't going to change the pitch much, but they have something called tempo control, which actually, as it stretches the recording,
okay, sure,
it drops the pitch, so it makes you sound normal. So what it does is it drops the pitch according to how much stretch you put on the file, and that worked perfectly, and now I've figured out the technical things. Thank you very much, everybody. Thank you. Just save your applause. No, sit down, Corey. I know. No, I don't need it. Don't throw roses my way. I mean, I'm flattered, dude. It's not necessary.
Could have been one of the most.
It's okay.
Even the cat's like, are you done?
The cat, like, I figured out Herman is now enjoying being in the center of the podcast. I figured that out now.
Look,
he's been here
for many years.
Weeks.
I did not believe that we should have animals in the studio.
Oh, yeah.
Except for some of the broads we had in the hot tub.
They were animals.
And, thank you.
Herman's pretty good, though. He behaves. He sees we're working and says, you guys go ahead. He's going to close his eyes.
He's a cat. Yeah, he's not making a lot of coherent decisions. He's a cat.
He's being all right.
Because
when I try to sit here and like watch a movie or a television show in the studio, he's biting me and fucking jumping on me and doing all kinds of shit. But we hear and we have our nice conversation, and he just sort of mellows him out. Yeah, look at him.
That's good.
That is our audience.
No, you.
That is our audience.
No, no. You bored him, Joel, with your technical discussion.
Do you see how his eyes opened up when I got louder? See, that's our audience. See, when I go like that, they just people. Oh, shit! I'm listening to Joel Radio.
I'm glad that you at least can produce a show with some technical competence, because I've heard podcasts that have been around.
My God.
They're like, this is our 150th show, and it sounds, I mean, this is our 500-something, I don't know, what if you total up all the shows we've ever done.
It's well over 500 hours. Me and Tenny added it up.
I mean, I'm just saying number of shows probably.
No,
close
we're
to
120, and we did 230 before we changed it to
Joel
Radio.
All right.
So we're like 400.
Okay,
370.
That's pretty good.
Yeah.
350. I hear shows, and, I'll hear, you know, amateur shows, and then I'll hear professional shows.
Yeah.
that have a budget, some of the most successful podcasters,
they'll
do a live show and they won't mic the audience.
Yeah, they'll do that.
So it'll sound dead.
Sounds bad, yeah.
And you're like, you got to mic the audience somewhere.
Right. And you listen, the Omero's open mic that I record might sound dead because no one's there. That's why we need an audience.
That's another reason.
But it will be mic'd. And again, you know, if guys do well, it'll hear it. And if guys bomb, you'll hear it too. It should be, it's an interesting social experiment.
Warts and all.
The plan is to do it once a month. It'll just be an additional show. It's not in lieu of a real Joel Radio where we sit down and talk in the studio. But I think it'll be a nice change. And I'm coming up, you know, I'm putting the burden on myself to write an original set for this open mic. So rather than going up and doing like the comedy that you would normally hear me do in a club, I'm going to write like topical jokes.
You
and
got
all
a
kinds
new
of,
set.
I got a new set just for that. Now,
wow.
This new set.
This is a historic occasion.
This new set only exists in my mind right now.
Well,
but I'm hoping that I can write it down.
Isn't that
and
really
remember
where
the jokes.
All of our sets exist?
They all do, but you know what? I have to remember these jokes. That's the deal. So
when I started, I had a notebook and I was in the habit of writing all my jokes down. I haven't done that in so long.
Yeah, I know. And
when I do, I write new bits. And
sure.
They get in the act.
Yeah.
Sometimes I'll forget to do them just because I don't do them.
That's what happens, yeah. So,
I see all these young guys that have their notebooks.
Notebooks.
And they're,
tons of
they're
notebooks.
Furiously scribbling.
Exactly.
And I haven't really.
Well, I'm going to go back to the beginning where I did, which was typing things out long form in a Word document. That's how I'm going to approach this show. Because I think it helps me with the timing when the joke is new.
Now, if people want a transcript of this podcast,
sure, yes,
they
for the hearing impaired,
you send a self-adapted
$3
self-addressed stamp.
Yeah.
Remember that?
Yeah,
remember
absolutely.
Every like talk show or every news show,
sure,
like Nightline would always have that at the end of it.
If you want a transcript of tonight's show, send $3 to
the
Phil Donahue Show.
And
P.O. Box.
I mean, I guess you would want a transcript if you were writing an article on.
Sure. Well, that was the only way to document what was on the show. Was with the transcript.
Right. And there was a transcript service.
Yeah.
Imagine how crappy that job was. You had to sit there and write down everything.
Well, now you know people they transcribe everything for closed captioning, so it's kind of all
That's
done
true.
For them, and
That's
someone
true.
Sits there and does all that shit.
I wonder where the archives of that is. And you could be
the transcripts?
No, I'm just like, I wonder if somebody like wrote down the Mike Douglas show for like December 5th, 1984.
I guess.
And you could like go and read those.
Well, it's interesting what happens to old TV shows too, because a lot of the tapes aren't kept for some of them.
Sure.
And some of them may only live on in the form of a transcript. They may not even have the tapes are somewhere. You know, you saw in the Johnny Carson documentary what Johnny did with all his tapes.
Well, yeah.
They're like underground in Kansas or somewhere, right?
But his tapes are only from like...
Yeah, they're only from a certain 60, era.
69
they're only from like the Los Angeles Tonight Show, right? They're not from the New York Tonight Show.
There are tapes from the New York show.
Yeah, yeah.
So, but I think he probably, maybe the last year he
was
in New York.
Yeah, they didn't...
So if it was in 65, it's not likely it exists.
So a lot of stuff sort of disappears, but now everything. These podcasts will live forever, for God's sakes.
There's guys
for no good reason.
there's guys now that like this is a perpetual thing. That's there's a couple. It's like two seasons of Doctor Who.
Okay,
where most of the shows are missing.
Yeah,
because the BBC just went
fuck it
and dumped the tapes.
Well,
and so there's guys like scouring the earth. Looking in vaults in like.
Well, yeah, I know
South America.
I know about this
because
there's Beatles. Yeah. The Beatles did Top of the Pops, which is a BBC show, and those tapes don't exist anymore. But what they think is what they did is what I've heard with the Beatles stuff, and maybe this is true for the Doctor Who stuff, is that they would take the videotapes and they would put them on film. And they would fly these films to, like, Africa.
Right.
And they would go on these, like, local stations. And what they're hoping, because they know the BBC doesn't have the tapes, they're hoping to find these film copies in the vaults of these, like, African small television stations.
Yeah.
That have these things sitting around somewhere. And I believe somebody said they might have found the Beatles performances recently. Like, no one's seen them yet, but they might have been
discovered.
Where
was the footage from Pop Gear from?
From Pop Gear?
Remember the movie
Pop Gear?
There's the Beatles clips from that. Where are the
That was something called The Beatles Come to Town.
Yeah.
And it was filmed by Pathé. So it was basically a newsreel. And it was shot in...
Is there footage of, like, when the Beatles
were on... It was shot
in
color, in widescreen color cinemascope.
When the Beatles were on, like, Morecambe and Wise, is there footage of that?
Morecambe and Wise exist. Those exist.
Okay.
It's just the Top of the Pops are missing, and I don't know that...
You know, he scolded you for the technical discussion.
Yeah, now we're having one
about the Beatles. We're right into
Beatles Arcana. Well, and then there's, you know, of course, then there's the Abbey Road session tapes, which they recorded over. They recorded over most of the 62 session tapes. They started, I think, archiving those in, like, late 63.
Okay.
So most of the session tapes of a lot of those early Beatles singles and albums don't exist anymore, so it's too bad. But anyway, let's get off the Beatles topic.
We'll just go down a rabbit hole.
We're going down a rabbit hole of Beatles shit. But I wanted to just, one more time, Omera's next Thursday, February 27th. Come on down. You'll see me. You'll see Corey. We've got a lineup of comics, you know, girls you can beat off to. It's going to be a fine show.
Will we?
I mean, I don't know. I've heard.
Guys you can beat off to.
Not that I would know, but yeah. Not that I would beat off to them, but yeah. And so that'll be a good time. Come on out to that. And I also want to plug something.
And crazy enough, we'll have guys doing the show that have beat off to the girls that are on the show.
Absolutely, yeah. There's lots of guys who are beating off to everybody.
It's a lot of great
stuff. But he's beating off to everyone.
And we have some heartwarming stories with Sam and Lauren last week.
Yeah, that was, yeah, you know.
Some heartwarming stories of every guy in show business.
I talked to.
Or quasi show business.
Remember the girl. Remember the girl who has the story about I went on the road with a guy and there was one bed?
Sure.
I saw her last week,
and
I told her that is like a legendary. I've made
it's
that
a famous story.
Through this podcast, we have taken that story and made it this. Yeah. And I go, look, and I know when I said, well, if you want to listen to the podcast, I told that story about you, and you know, we don't say your name or anything. And she goes, and I go, did I get all the details right? It was like one bed, right? And she's like, oh yeah, you got that right. And I go, I might have exaggerated that. She goes, no, that's it all. It's one bed. I go, maybe it was like two beds, but one hotel. And she goes, no, it's one bed. I go, okay.
So I had heard
it was as pervy as I remember.
I'd heard the exact same story, so
yeah,
I was pretty
so it's
pretty confident that was
that was a really good show with those girls. They did a nice show.
You know what's so sad is, Nick, we could tell the I'm just gonna lay in it like a puppy story and no one
that'll wait but that's one not,
I'm
that
just
one
saying,
doesn't get a...
I'm just saying we've told it in the past
ever on the show.
I don't know
is that's
the
not,
shelf life
that's,
gone on that one yet?
You know, there's a statute of limitations on
but I think that
weird
that,
sort of sex
I think
stories
like
but...
the guys that are doing comedy now, most of them don't remember that particular individual.
No, but it could get back. There's channels there's channels through which that person could either hear the show or get a hold of us, and I don't want to be.
All right, I'm just saying
that's for a story for another.
But that's
day.
A story that other.
Well, listen, here's well, here,
comics.
Here's
it's a whole
rule.
Generation.
Here's the rule too. If the story's about somebody else, then it's fair game. When it's my personal story, something that happened to me, yeah, then that one can't come out.
Okay.
Yeah, but of course we put Sam and Lauren on the spot. But you know, they were.
Oh yeah,
but they have you know. And they were even nice enough because after the show ended, remember when Lauren whipped out her phone and said, "Here's the poem the guy sent me at 2 a.m." It's fucking great. We know the guy who sent it, and it was tremendous. So.
And then Lauren made us confirm which dick pics we'd send her. And
wait a minute, no, that one's like, not enough girth.
No, that one's got too much
that
curve.
That one's that's.
I think that's mine. There you go.
Yeah, my left nut hangs lower. That's probably me. No, I've never done it. You know, I don't.
All right, the dick pic. Have you sent a dick pic?
Have I ever sent a dick pic?
You must have. Come on, you don't.
Have I ever sent a dick pic?
What? All
right, I'll be honest with you, and this is what I'm going to say. I'm going to be completely honest with you.
Yeah.
I think I've sent one dick pic.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not even to, like, who you would think I would send it to. It's not even, it wasn't even to, like, a girlfriend. You know what I mean? Like, you think a girlfriend, I would get a dick, you would get my dick pic.
Uh-huh.
Or a girl would want my dick pic because, hey, honey, I'm going out of town. You want to take a picture of this?
I think we just named today's show.
What was it, honey? What was it?
Honey, you want my dick pic?
Honey, you want my dick pic?
No, look.
But I sent one to, like, a far away girl who I was, like, cyber... I think I was in a hotel room texting this girl.
That you were cyber stalking?
No, it was like a long. We had a long distance relationship. Let's just say that.
Yeah,
it was not a girl that I ever was intimate with personally, but yet she would send me pictures, and so I said, "Okay, I asked her if she wanted one, and she said yes, and I sent her one, and she was very pleased with it. But it was the only one I ever sent. I've never sent a girl.
You'd have
with
to
her.
Be a low down dirty bitch to like go. Oh, that's a terrible.
No,
dick pic.
I know, and
no
I, but
girl,
I, but
no
I,
girl's going to tell you they think your dick pic's funny.
No, and I don't think she expected it to be like that either. But I don't know what she was complimentary to my penis. She said, if I can remember, I quote her, I'll quote her and say, I think she said something like, I wouldn't, this is, I don't know that this is even that good of a quote, but I think she said, I wouldn't mind having that inside me.
Oh, goodness.
There's the name of the show.
Is there anything more embarrassing than like dirty stuff you've seen?
It is.
People?
It is bad. Yeah.
If
well, that's
you
right.
Ever go back and reread?
Oh,
like dirty emails or something
sure.
You sent somebody.
Yeah.
And you're like, what was I thinking?
Yeah. No, absolutely. But I don't. You know what?
You sound like such a douche.
I honestly don't do that because I don't want anyone to have that ammunition of. And this girl that I like sent the dick pic to, I don't even. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like she's not even. You know, she's nowhere in my universe.
Well, isn't that the whole point of Snapchat?
Well, you know, that's funny. Weren't we talking about that with Samantha Rager? Where, like, it was like, I told a girl, and I said to Sam, I think, I said, now, a girl asked me to get on Snapchat, so that means I have to send her my dick. And she goes, yeah, you have to send her your dick.
Right.
And I go, oh, okay, well, that's not happening, so I'm not doing that. Because, honestly, I'm to the point, really, where I can't, I'm thinking about this. I don't want to make a generalization like this, but I'm almost ready to say, tell me if this passes the giggle test, Gory. Yeah. I don't want to see anybody's tits enough to show them my dick on a phone.
Oh, I do.
You do? You want to see tits that bad of somebody?
Well, there's some tits I'd like to see.
There's some tits you'd like to see.
I'm not sending dick pics, but...
Right,
you
but
know,
I'm saying if that was the transaction, you would do it then. If it costs... And we're not talking like fucking Scarlett Johansson tits or some shit like that. We're talking like somebody you know. And let's assume you're not married, because I don't want to, you know,
no, I
make
mean,
it weird.
I mean, those days
let's say,
are,
assuming you're a free man, as I am, put yourself in my shoes.
No, I can't even remember.
Yeah, but let's assume you're a free man.
I can't, but that's cruel. That's like...
No, but like...
I'm sitting at home singing Swing Low, Sweet Chariot,
right.
Having memories of being
but,
out...
But the point is, though...
Yes.
Okay, you could say even now, like, oh, now I'd love to see tits because I'm married, but that's a whole other thing.
Well, I want to see even more
you,
now.
I'm
sure,
not asking
absolutely.
You for that. I'm saying... Really. As a single man, putting yourself in the shoes of a single man who could freely and without cheating and without anything send your penis for a picture of a girl, send a picture of penis for a picture of a girl's tits, would you do that? Yes or no?
I probably would.
You probably would. Okay.
I'm
saying no.
Well, the great thing about the dick pic is it really isn't incriminating.
It's not because you can't see. Yeah,
who
right.
Who knows what dick it is?
For girls, you kind of have to do it. You have to put your hair in front
you
of your
face.
You
got to put your whole body in the whole
Speaking of that, do you want? Have you seen the Emma Stone? The alleged Emma Stone.
Well, let's look at it again.
Well, let's look at it.
I will say this.
While we're talking
I used to hang out with a girl that got off kind of, well, you know, she enjoyed.
She enjoyed.
Making fake Craigslist posts. This was
okay.
Like her favorite, like.
Sure.
One of her favorite pastimes was like.
Oh, so she must have got sent everything. On
well, and she'd do ridiculous ones like, you can, you know, we want to sell our baby.
Okay.
You know what I mean? Like, she'd be like. You know, we just came here from Russia, and who wants to fuck this hot wife?
Yeah.
It was all ridiculous, kind of, and guys would send her replies. I mean, it was just right. Like...
Now, this is... You
I buy... Yeah, I can see it, and I saw it, and I believe it.
Oh, you've seen this already.
I mean...
I mean, it's... Here's my... Well, okay.
I'm into it.
Part of me says... Now, this is... Now, you can find this on... I think Drunken Stepfather provided
There's your new
this,
wallpaper.
You know. Well, you know, here's what I'm thinking. Well, first of all, I've heard that Emma Stone has, like, a wrist tattoo that isn't present in this photo, okay? First of all, the girl has the phone covering her nose and mouth.
Absolutely.
And those are pretty distinctive features on anyone. So it's really hard to tell. I mean, this girl appears to be a redhead, and I say that not just from the color of the hair, but from the pink nipples. That certainly looks like redhead nipples, right?
You know, that is generally...
Redheads have pink nipples.
It generally corresponds...
And a very pink vaginal lips and clitoris.
God, what
it's
are you...
It's very pink.
What are you, Dr. Oz?
It's
this
not brown
very...
like you might see on a regular white girl, like a brunette. It's very, very pink. It's
I have
pinkish.
Seen very few...
You haven't seen a redhead vagina really close
no,
up?
No, I have.
Yeah.
I'm
yeah,
saying
like
I have seen only a couple...
So the nipples usually match the... labia.
I can say I've only seen a couple examples of brown nipples on a white girl.
Yeah, but she had
but
a baby
I have,
or something.
I have dipped. No, this was not.
No, it's just a dark, dark.
I have dipped into the.
Swarthy.
I have dipped into the Jewish faith.
Okay, yeah. So there's some Semitic looking broad.
And here. Then I, you know, and then we move into the Arab community.
Sure.
Look.
Well, but what I'm saying is okay. So this is a okay. She doesn't have a wrist tattoo. People say she has a wrist tattoo. She also, I don't think, has had red hair in a long, long time because she's been doing those Spider-Man movies where she's blonde. So I'm thinking if this is Emma Stone, it's got to be 5-6 years old.
It could be an old one.
there seems to be like a birthmark on that shoulder.
It could be before the it could be before the wrist tattoo.
It could. That's what I mean. She has red hair. But first of all, this is Emma's, first of all, I'm just whoever this is.
It's great, whatever
it
is.
Tremendous. That's a great picture.
Well, this is like, okay, the Kat Dennings ones were obviously Kat
Dennings.
Yeah,
that was Kat Dennings. The Scarlett Johansson is probably her head's not in it, but you're pretty sure that's
you
her.
You know, Allison Pill. Some
Allison
of those girls
Pill we've
just
seen.
Got busted.
Christina Hendricks, they matched up the veins. I saw some guys do some detective work.
Olivia Munn.
Olivia Munn, yeah.
Wasn't there like some, I love
Chris.
Internet.
Chris, this is all yours, Chris. This is I'm doing the Olivia. I should read the Olivia Munn sex photo captions because those
it's
are
the best
great.
Thing ever.
She has flapjack titties though, Olivia Munn. It's kind of disappointing.
Would you stop now?
But Emma Stone, if that's whoever this Emma Stone doppelganger is, those are nice little B cup tits. Very nice.
Jesus, flapjack titties.
No,
I one time the most gorgeous girl in the world.
Yeah,
just a beautiful face.
Sure.
Top came off. Flapjack titties. And it really bummed me out.
I was with a girl who lost a lot of weight, and it destroyed the tits.
Oh, yeah.
Because she had real nice ones when she was heavier, and then she lost a lot of weight, and it was just all tit. She went on, like, ruin my tit workout plan or something. I don't know what
I have all the tits a man can handle.
You do.
I really do.
Your wife could lose tit and still have more tit than
Yeah, oh, yeah.
She could lose. In fact, one of your wife's tits. Is this okay if I talk about your wife's tits?
Go ahead.
One of your wife's tits is more than most guys get with two tits.
Absolutely. I'm a boob man, and that's what I did.
Your wife's tits.
But
I was in a hot tub with your wife, and I saw those tits. I'm very close. Sure. Not in a swimsuit.
I'm a little disgusted by this. Yeah, no, it's true.
She had no problem showing them to me in a swimsuit. In the swimsuit. In the swimsuit.
It's an embarrassment of riches for me.
Do you know? I'll say we're on a show. We're entertaining America.
Okay.
I believe I touched your wife's tits.
What?
I believe she asked me to touch her tits, and I touched her tits.
How
do you know that?
I don't know that. I'm beyond
It's okay. She said.
It's fine. Whatever.
I didn't like go, I need to touch your tits, baby.
It's okay.
It was like we were all having fun.
Touch
her tits.
One of her friends.
I believe the girl that was with her, I believe you also touched her tits.
I think this is the same friend.
Yeah,
That girl, before she became a mommy, used to like motorboat me all the time.
Right, that girl has nice, very nice tits.
And she'd be like, you know, here's your Christmas present. And
different
just,
from your wife's big tits, but also very
different,
nice big tits.
A smaller but a better set.
Yeah,
they were good.
Nice.
Okay, all right. Well, this is never going to air. And back to Emma Stone.
Well, you asking me to confess things. I've confessed a lot of stuff so far. But is that Emma Stone, yes or no? What's the verdict?
I want to believe. I don't care if it is.
The eye and the eyebrow looks like her. It looks like that's the part of her hair.
Here's the thing. It's like alien landings.
Yeah.
All right? I don't really know any of them that I can
This girl is a little hippie, maybe, that Emma Stone isn't, though.
I think...
That's a hip. Look at that hip.
I like it. No, maybe
I like it,
just,
too. Like, this girl's on this
could
girl's
be
nine.
The angle she's standing at.
Yeah, it could be.
Let's... All right, detective.
Yes, sir.
Let's find an Emma Stone bikini pic and match them up.
All right, let's try that right now. Why not?
All of the internet perverazzi are out in this case.
I don't know. I've been at work all day. I haven't really been working on it. But I can do it now, and I will do it.
This is what's great, though. There's guys that have already, like, decoded this film.
Right. No, there's guys
who are doing, pixel-by-pixel analysis.
There's a lot of so-called experts. There's a lot of guys that present themselves as experts.
I know nipples.
I know.
These people are amateurs.
Emma Stone films in Hawaii wearing shorts and a wet T-shirt. Emma Stone in a bikini. Let me just see
nipple detail.
Oh, there's the shoulder. But this is like blonde Emma Stone.
Well, yeah,
this is blonde. I'm looking for that shoulder.
You kind of go back to like 2010.
But
for
this
the
is
redhead.
And I think those hips are very narrow in this. But she's. But again, this is more. Here we go, Corey.
Oh, oh.
All right, here's what I'm seeing.
Oh, oh, oh.
Wait.
This is the stupidest.
This is the best show we've ever done, Bella. I see a birthmark on Emma Stone. This is a known Emma Stone picture.
Okay, all right.
On her, what would be her left abdomen, almost like just under her ribs. Right here, where I have the pointer. I don't know how good you can see that.
All right, what else do we have from this series?
And I also have I have a birthmark on her upper. Well, see, her upper thigh is not in the leaked the nude. But I also don't see anything on the shoulder that looks like this.
Are there any others from this set?
But I see no birthmarks on this selfie, and I don't see any. I don't see the shoulder birthmark on the selfie girl.
By the way, what an annoying selfie! By the way,
oh well.
She covered the face probably for
maybe so she didn't get identified.
Yeah,
or something.
Scan up anything else. Oh,
there's Bill Murray okay, let me try these other Emma Stone bikini pictures.
All right, we're getting somewhere.
We're getting there.
We're doing God's...
Oh, it's a bigger version of the one we just saw.
We're doing God's work.
Oh, no, you know what, Corey? Unless... I think the jury can kind of come to a conclusion. By the way, Emma Stone's ass there is just a fucking thing of beauty. Look, would you look at that?
It's you, look, you've been on to her since...
I liked Emma Stone in...
Superbad.
Superbad, yeah. That was kind of her first... Actually, I liked her on the New Partridge Family, but she must have been like 15.
What was the New Partridge... When was
they
that?
They did a New Partridge Family on VH1, and there was like a reality...
There was like a contest.
There was a reality
right?
show, like an American Idol-style thing to win.
So she played Susan Day?
Yeah, she was Emily. She was Emily Stone on... That's her name. Her name is Emily. She was Emily Stone on the New Partridge Family, and she won to be the Susan Day character.
Wow.
On the New Partridge Family.
Did she win it?
She won it. She actually taped however many of the new...
All right. I have a litany of...
No, but I'm looking at these, Corey, and I see birthmarks in spots that this selfie girl doesn't have them. So I'm saying, you know, unless these moles... I see two on her abdomen, one on either side... Just north of her navel. And the navel maybe is even a way to check. The navels look pretty similar.
The navels, to me, looks good.
Yeah, the navel does look
good.
That
is a pretty good match. And she's... Okay, the naked girl has the tiniest, tiniest little pouch.
Right. It looks like she was wearing pants or something. And she's got,
I mean, look. I'm not, it's not something to...
But again, Emma Stone doesn't have hips like this girl in the selfie.
Wait.
Emma Stone's hips are very... She does not...
Her waist doesn't come in the same way.
What do you got? Let me see what you got.
Look at this one.
Let me see what he got. You got some photo... What? Okay.
Now we can look into this belly region.
She has a little paunch in that one.
In the hips.
But the hip
some
isn't...
There's water splash in the way.
Her hips are narrow and boxy compared to...
We're so stupid.
I've been looking at that one, like that series, the Black Bikini series. Because if you look at like the cover of Harper's Bazaar or something, they're going to be photoshopped. By the way, that's amazing right there. That thing you just had up.
She looks great.
Tremendous. Yeah. She's super cute.
Where is his
that right
birthmark
there?
In the new
No. Go...
No.
You don't have the selfie up. Well, pull the selfie up. I'll show you.
All right.
But in the black bikini picture, you can see there's two birthmarks on her abdomen. That, like, look at maybe that one or one of them. Yeah, like that one, but it needs to be bigger. And you can see they're just north of her navel on either side. Yeah, see, it's... Some of the sites won't give you full size
give you the zooms.
Imagery, but you got to get to the.
You need the zooms.
The British guys are real assholes. They'll give you the full size.
Oh, the British.
Yeah, this is the Daily Mail. They'll give you the full size.
They'll really get in there and examine this.
And I'm seeing.
This is as tawdry as I've ever felt.
Okay, I think I'm. If I had to listen,
we gave a woman a sex toy and then spanked her on this show.
We did do that.
And
yeah,
I feel more.
It was a great show.
It was a present. We let her unwrap a sex toy and then spanked her. And I feel more tawdry now.
Do you?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry. This wasn't to make you feel... I think I told you I touched your wife's boobs and I bummed you out.
Whatever.
it was before you were married.
I weren't married. We weren't married.
We weren't married then. It's fine. I wouldn't touch another man's wife's boobs.
Look frankly, I believe in a free boob handling policy.
Sure, absolutely.
I believe that we would not have these mass shootings.
Oh, absolutely.
I believe we wouldn't have this Ukraine violence going on
right
now.
Violence.
If we would just let if there was a more equal and open world in which boob touching was more common, all right?
Right.
Because God knows I've touched boobs that weren't Amy's in the last few years. And
Huh? Who?
I'm just saying. generally what? Amongst friends. I'm saying.
Listen, I don't need to know your whole. Listen,
no, I'm not.
I know you have. You occasionally, I'll have a dinner party.
Sure,
I don't know what goes on at those. I'm not invited.
Yeah,
and maybe boob touching happens. Who am I to judge?
I'm just saying, if we had a more, I'm hoping to move towards a more boob-nanimous world.
I watched Super Bowl at your house. Not one boob was touched.
I didn't get to do it. There was only two. It was a small party.
Well,
oh my God.
I'm looking at pictures of Emily Olsen in the meantime.
Oh, that, well, look at her, too.
Well, Emily Olsen's cute, but she's got a great face.
I just reviewed a movie
something.
With her in it this week.
Okay. I like Emily Olsen. I think she's gorgeous.
There's a great scene. It's a period piece.
Yeah.
Literally, but I'm...
She's on the rag in the movie?
You know, it's set in the 1860s. Yeah. And there's a scene where Oscar Isaac is... who was in Inside Llewyn Davis, is like, they're having an affair. And he has to go hide under her petticoat.
Oh.
Because her mom comes in the room.
And do you see all of her nether regions?
And he hides under the petticoat. No, but you see he starts pleasuring her.
Oh!
While he's under the petticoat.
Oh!
And I thought, this is a clever scene.
Oh.
And she has to kind of keep it together.
While
mom is talking to her.
And she's getting her box eaten. That's nice. Good stuff.
Classy.
Good stuff.
A classy film. Emma Stone turned that role down. She could have had it.
She could have had it. Could have had Oscar Isaac underneath
her. I love how we just spent 10 minutes breaking down.
What else were we talking about?
Some paparazzi photos.
We got to talk about Jimmy Fallon.
Yeah, any other nip slips lately? Any other,
I don't know. It's been kind of quiet on the whole celebrity nudity thing.
Have the celebs finally gotten it together?
I think part of it is that it's not as big a deal as it used to be, and so maybe, people kind of see. I mean, I would imagine
with the advent of social media, with the advent of Instagram.
And emails and stuff.
And Snapchat and all this stuff. I would imagine that every titty out there in the world has been seen by somebody.
Let me ask you this. How many, again, this might not really apply to you, but how many, like, you don't have to give me names, obviously, but ex-girlfriends that you have at one time or another, not necessarily now, had some nude photo of?
Not many.
Not many. Okay, yeah.
I mean, a few.
But I don't, I think my number might actually be zero just because I don't ask for them.
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
I've asked for them a couple times. I took a couple.
Yeah.
But it's very few.
Exactly. Yeah, it is. And it is
I have a friend.
Right.
That was his modus operandi.
Right.
Before he was married, I think he did a shoot with every girl he ever dated.
Because I think I'm saying this now as a guy is alone in a studio with you. I'm thinking I could have talked every girl into doing it. I don't think it was a thing where, it's just about you get to a point where how much, is this going to, look, I'm about to get laid. I'm about to get my pickle buff.
Why put it over
I'm about to shoot my semen all over this woman.
Please refrain from saying getting your pickle buff.
Well, but the question is, why would I want to instigate a fight now? Because, I want to capture this moment so badly.
Well,
it just doesn't come up, and so I go, what's the
point? I'll tell you what. You know what? It never hurts to ask.
No, but I'll tell you this.
Because I've had girls send me pictures that I wasn't expecting.
That's the thing. That's the thing that I do have, I have had. But these were not girlfriends of mine. They were like, girls who, girls who liked me and sent me, whatever. Shit like that.
I have more of those.
Fans of Joel Radio.
I'll tell you what. I have more pictures of girls that I didn't date.
Exactly. Than the ones
than
you do.
Ones I did.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
And it's not a big collection, believe me.
Right. But, because the girls you date, you actually, you go through a process of taking them out and getting to know them. Whereas the girls that are willing to show you their tits right away, you're just like, I'm not going to take you to the movies. I already saw it. Why take you to Ponderosa?
Well,
you just showed me your tits. Yeah, what's the point? I'll save the money. I'll beat off to this.
Well, I've often had this.
And have a nice relationship.
I used to have a bit about it, and used to say that you could make men's lives so much easier. You could just get if every time you met a woman, she showed you her tits
right away
in the first half hour.
Sure,
that would just take away so much tension.
Not every woman you meet, but if you're socially,
no.
Right.
Every woman I meet,
every woman you meet
under the age of 60.
Sure.
let me see him, and then I'll stop thinking about it.
Yeah.
But instead, guys, think about it all day long.
And it drives you crazy.
And you wonder what's under that
blouse.
And we have discussions about it on a podcast.
We do, yeah. We do, but you know what? It's funny because now it's... But it, to me, it's kind of gotten to the thing where, like, I don't know that looking at it is what I even want.
Well, I'll tell you what.
It's... You want to, like, the...
You want... No, you want...
No, but you want the feel of it, though. You know, you want the full five sensory... overload of which, you know, and maybe because, you know, now we've got a callus to naked women because it's everywhere now.
Oh, there are more naked women available for viewing at any time
and
of the day.
And it's ridiculous
and
because
it's a sad
and you thing. Can also see, here's the other thing that's great about the internet, if it's great or sad or however you want to look at it. You can now see pictures of, you now no longer need to, here's the thing, the job description, okay, nude model, that job is going the way of like candlestick maker. It really almost now, you almost don't need naked famous people. You don't need porn stars. You don't need, because you don't need Playboy centerfolds anymore, because you can see guys, wives, and girlfriends on anywhere you want, and you can see dozens of them. To the point of, you know what I'm saying? There's so many guys.
Well, if there
leaking
was,
pictures if, of fucking their naked wives and girlfriends.
If theoretically we had access to all the servers,
right?
And there was an apocalypse, and California fell in the ocean,
yeah.
And no more pornography was ever made.
Sure, yeah.
We'd have enough.
We could live off the fat of husbands and boyfriends.
I mean,
stashes of porn.
All of the porn that's ever been made.
Homemade porn.
Right.
Is enough now.
We have a good 40 years worth of porn.
Right.
If you have to dig back in the archives and you know, rip one off to Sylvia Christel.
Yeah.
Or a, you know, a young Nina Hartley, so be it. But I'm just saying.
But I'm saying there's no need for them to exist. I mean, there are guys who are going to want to look at the Playboy girls naked.
Maybe you want to watch Sika.
And that's fine.
Maybe you want to watch some Annie Sprinkle.
But you can pretty much look at, okay, it may not be the lady that lives across the street from you. But you can see the lady who lives across the street from some dude.
Wouldn't that be the best website ever?
Naked all the time. What's that?
Girls that you know naked. That would just be... There was a website that went to...
That was just girls you knew naked.
Well, what if it was like, it went to your, like, it read your Facebook profile.
Yeah.
And identified all the girls that you know...
That I'm personally friends
that
with.
That have nudie pics up somewhere.
Oh, and it would go out and, like, crawl, like, scrape the web for all of these nudes.
Like a Nexus Lexus.
But the problem is, though, women don't put up their nudes under their real name, though. It's always, like, some weird thing. Well, actually, there are sites. There are, like, have you seen these ex-girlfriend websites? Have you ever seen those?
Have you seen them? Who are you talking to here? I'm a professional comedian.
So if you've seen these, you know that you can search, like, the one that I went on. I'm not sure if it was exgirlfriend.com. I don't want to give out. I don't know. It's not bookmarked. But you could look up girls by region. So you can just look up, for example, for us, we would look up Michigan.
Okay.
And then you can search by name. And it's the girls' real names.
You sure
and,
you don't have an
and,
URL on this?
And, actually, I think I do. And, here's the point, you can go in, if they find the girls' real, like, legitimate Facebook, they'll link to it. So not only can you see the girls naked, then you can see them with their clothes on,
you know,
modeling, you know, taking their kids to the park on Facebook.
Now, of course, all of this acquired data can only harm you eventually when you're married or you got a girlfriend. But I will say that there are some I wish I had gotten pictures of.
Yeah, this is
because sadly the sands of time, I only have a vague memory of some titties. You know what I mean? Some of the early titties. Oh, I know her.
Yeah, this is, let me show you Michigan. Oh, this is like popping up things.
A lot of pop-ups.
Yeah, pop-ups. Not those tits, but other pop-ups.
Those are pop-downs.
No, I'll tell people what this site is. This is called myex.com, myex.com. And you can go, but the problem is too, and this is why you don't want your dick pic out, the girls can send in their ex-boyfriend's penises.
Okay.
So,
Do you have to sign up, though, and, like...
No, you can look at anything you want. No, look, it's, here is... Okay, two people have sent in Alicia Rodriguez from Muskegon, Michigan, just as a, you know, as a thing. Like,
right, well, I put in the state.
Right. You type in Michigan, and then you go to, and then you can find.
Can you filter just girls?
I don't know if you can or not. Let me see. I'm submitting Michigan.
Oh, yeah, there's a Just Girls button.
Oh, Just Girls. Okay, Just Girls.
Good times.
Because you don't want to see penis. That may, you know.
Well, look.
You've seen enough penis.
I've seen enough penis.
If you were going to be gay, you'd be gay by now from all
but
the penis.
The girl that had the Craigslist collection.
Oh, okay.
All the dick pics the guy sent her from Craigslist of just like, she put these like ridiculous things up and just like, it'd be her in a tight t-shirt and being like, you can fuck me till I bleed out of my
ear.
And guys, and then we put together one. We took one of the dick pics that somebody had sent her and we, like, photoshopped a hot dog bun on it and ketchup and did a whole thing about like, I want you to be, you know, eat my wiener or something. And we got responses from that. Guys are so
horny. Oh, jeez. Well, I'm trying to find a girl that's like in a, like a town that I know.
You know, I hit the Just Girls.
And penises popped up. Yeah, it did the same thing to me.
This is bullshit.
Here is, I don't know if I, maybe I shouldn't say.
I'm getting a lot of Muskegon here.
Maybe I shouldn't say these people's names on the air. In fact, don't say people's last names, Corey, but because I don't want us to be dragged into some bullshit.
I'm getting White Pigeon, Michigan. Where is that?
Yeah, I've got, I mean, I've got Harrison Township. Oh, that's a guy. Armada.
You know, I put in Detroit, but I don't want the.
Right. Here's a girl in Boone, Michigan. B-O-O-N. This girl's cute, though.
Okay, here's Ferndale.
Who's in Ferndale? A bunch of dudes, probably.
It's a
very gay. Oh, there's a girl in Ferndale, Michigan up there?
Okay.
Location. How do I search by town, though? Can I search by town?
That would be good.
No, I don't think you can.
Ooh. This looks like a girl we'd see at the Emory.
Yeah, some of the girls, that's what I mean. Like, these girls are not girls that would, you know, you would see on, like, a porn site or something.
You know, that makes it better.
Right, that's what I mean. Like, so I'm saying, like, the professional model. Like, here's a girl named Bryn from Trenton, okay?
Okay.
And Bryn, there are pictures of Bryn with a penis. Like, this guy is coming, right? Look at that. There's a guy coming in her mouth on this
website. Oh, well, that's
delightful. And it's like, and it's the girl's real name. And here's a link to her real Facebook page, Corey. Mm-hmm. If I click on the link, watch, I go to her. Oh, actually, this one didn't for some reason. Maybe if I click on the Facebook link.
Well, this is a wonderful tool.
Right, myex.com. That's what I'm saying. I've seen this site. And I don't want to be on it. I don't want to. In fact, why don't I search for first name in Michigan? J-O-E-L. Let's search.
What are you for?
There are no results found for Joel in Michigan. Well, let's search for Corey.
Well, there'll be like eight black guys.
C-O-R-E-Y. You think so? Do you think there's going to be some nude Coreys? There could be girls named Corey. Maybe not spelled like that. There are no Coreys in Michigan that have been submitted.
I'm getting St. Clair and I'm getting Auburn Hills.
Let me look for Amy's in Michigan. Are you okay if I search for?
There's nothing.
Are you, if I, you know, oh, I've got Amy's in Michigan, Corey.
Yeah.
I've got Amy in White Pigeon, Michigan.
Where's that?
I don't know. And I've got Amy in Barton City, Michigan. Let's see if these line up with.
You know, if these are places we haven't done gigs in.
Yeah. Let me see here. Are this your wife? I thinking. You know, unlike Emma Stone, I think I can definitively say that this is not your Amy. Although this Amy, you might want to trade up to this Amy. Look at this Amy. Holy bazingas. Look at these things. Look at that, Corey. Are you looking at these?
Some of these are very explicit.
And she's blowing the guy here. He blows it on her. Oh, his dick's up her ass.
Well, heavens to Betsy.
But here's the thing to me, okay? So some guy decides, I'm going to put naked pictures of this girl. This is my ex-girlfriend. The guy didn't write much about her because the guy, you know, submitted anonymously. Mm. It says, not much to say, but she apparently loves the cock, and then he has all these pictures of her.
Oh, I like the guys are writing descriptions.
But isn't this the thing? And then, believe me, read the guy's comments at the bottom of the pages. Those are crazy, too. but Corey, isn't this like when I see this girl, Amy, in Barton City, Michigan, 27 years old, I only want to date this girl. Like, there's nothing about this that is a turnoff for me in any way. Like, I only want to, like, actually, like, ask this girl out.
I was talking with a friend recently about my checkered past.
Yeah.
And the number of crunchy girls that I hooked up with.
Okay, yeah.
And
crunchy meaning hippie.
Yes.
And by the way, apparently this girl works at the Sprint store. Because she seems to have a name tag and a Sprint shirt on.
Oh, here's the girl in Holly next time you play the hotel.
Yeah, I can go right over there. This is a great site.
I'll tell you this,
I forgot how good this was.
Well, what's nice about this is I'm choked up. I was talking about hippie girls.
Crunchy girls.
Oh, that looks good.
Yeah, this is good.
To this day, the scent of patchouli has a little bit of a aphrodisiac vibe to me. Only because I knew, here's a magical thing about hippie
that
girls.
That you knew you were getting
and
some,
this is not exactly an expose. This is not a 60 Minutes, big reveal here.
Oh, yeah?
Hippie girls are easy.
Yeah, I think so.
In my younger, less confident days, would go after, they had a hemp necklace.
Yeah.
You know, maybe they had a couple fish concert tickets.
I'm actually searching for my ex-girlfriends just by first name, but they're not coming up. So.
Oh, I can't imagine any of them would.
No, I can imagine some of them being
a couple
up here.
Of them?
Not from me, but from other guys. But yeah, turns out it doesn't look like it. But anyway. All right, so that's a good way to waste your time. MyEx.com. There you go, guys. There's some beat-off material for you. If not girls you know, girls in your town.
Okay.
And you can actually get a hold of them on Facebook, some of them, if you want.
Wow.
Real first and last names. Tremendous.
Sex tapes. There's a whole section on
and
that.
There's a section for sex tapes, too. All right, let's get into, I guess I should plug this. You know, we haven't mentioned this, but... You know, I think we talked about I needed to get this going, and it's official now. Joel Radio is on Twitter. There you go, everybody.
Oh, hey.
Welcome to 2007. Joel Radio is now on Twitter. Of course, I went out after the show last time to get, at Joel Radio for joelradio.net.
Yeah.
And guess what? That was taken.
Oh, really?
Some guy who, I can't remember if it was, written in a foreign language or it was just gibberish tweets. But there were like three or four tweets at Joel Radio, so I had to pick a different name. So if you want to catch me, catch the show on Twitter, it's at Joel Radio Show. Okay. And I will be updating, when the show comes out, I'm going to put it on the Twitter right away, so you'll know right away that the shows have come out. If you want to leave comments about the show, tweet at us, at Joel Radio Show. That's a good way to get a hold of us. So follow Joel Radio.
I'm at Corey Hall Comic on Twitter if you want to hit me up.
Yeah, and Corey, I link to Corey. Because I live tweeted Jimmy Fallon last night, the third Jimmy Fallon.
All right, sir.
Yeah, anyway. So anyway, if you want to read that whole thing.
And if you'd like to send us your tit pics.
Yeah,
please.
At Joel Radio Show is a good place to do it. But I live tweeted Jimmy Fallon, and some people seem to enjoy it. There's a guy from E! News who was favoriting my tweets about Jimmy Fallon last night. So that was nice. So, if you want to go and read all of them. We're going to review Jimmy Fallon here in a second. But, yeah, that's all on Joel Radio Show, at Joel Radio Show on Twitter. So follow us there.
All right.
And, of course, I never plug this stuff, and I should every time. Of course, Joel Radio is on Twitter. Go to, on Facebook as well, Joel Radio on Facebook. Joel Radio is also available on Stitcher if you have an iPhone or Android phone or iPad. Get the Stitcher app, and you can listen to Joel Radio anywhere without having to download it.
All right.
All you need is a data connection. And, of course, Joel Radio on iTunes. We're there. Leave us a review if you like the show. And, of course, the front page of joelradio.net, which is the only place to get the full archive of Joel and Corey created podcasts going back 9 years. It'll be 9 years in March that we started the Corey and Joel Radio Show, which is now Joel
now
Radio.
Is this mic cord going to be strong enough for me to choke myself?
No, come on. 9 years. You should be proud. We're pioneers in this business, and we finally are getting some recognition
now. We're getting none.
E! News is tweeting my great Jimmy Fallon. Here's the one that they liked. It said, let's see. Not much to the interview segment with Bradley Cooper. Charades is next, and that should be brutal. That was the one that the guy from E! News liked. And the charades was brutal. So let's just start talking about Jimmy Fallon. I think we've done enough.
Well, we talked about boobs.
The biggest boob of all, Jimmy Fallon. So this guy.
Yeah.
By the way, I'm going to tweet this, and I want to do this during prime time. That's why I'm not doing it now. But I think I figured out that Jimmy Fallon is the white Wayne Brady. That's what I figured out. That's my brilliant insight.
The white Wayne Brady.
He's the white Wayne Brady, meaning that he's inoffensive. He sings and he dances when he's supposed to be funny. It's the white Wayne Brady. That's the best.
I thought Wayne Brady was the white Wayne Brady.
No, he's the white. That's the thing that's funny about it. See, it works on multiple levels. Catch all this comedy next week at O'Mara's Comedy Night. I know. Hopefully I'll have a better audience than Corey to laugh. But next week at O'Mara's.
What, I didn't sell that enough for you?
You should sell it a little bit. You should sell it a little bit in that, like, you know.
Hold on. We need another of Lauren's one.
Yes, you have Lauren Uhalic's toffee face. And by that, I mean candies.
I'm looking for her toffee face.
Yeah, if you can find her toffee face.
I'm on that site looking for her toffee face.
Is there a hazelnut in the middle of Lauren Uhalic's toffee?
Not finding.
Yeah, we're so good. I hate. See, now we sound like real perverts.
Now we're doing all
Lauren
of the
Uhalic,
things.
Who is our friend, and while everyone else pervs out to her, we're gentlemen and actual friends with her.
I like Lauren.
And not idiots. Yeah, Lauren's a good girl. So anyway, so Jimmy Fallon came on Monday, middle of the Olympics. So they're giving him, you know, all the push they can on NBC. Leno says goodbye. I actually liked the last few Leno shows.
You're out of your mind.
There was a. There was a bit on one of the last Lenos where Bill Maher and Seth MacFarlane sang a song to him, and I thought that was pretty funny.
Mm-hmm.
Even the last one where, you know, he had Jack Black and Carol Burnett sing to him, and they did a show tune. I thought that was good. Even though I hate Jimmy Fallon for singing and dancing, somehow when people were singing and dancing to Leno, I enjoyed it for whatever reason. But I thought the end of Leno was pretty good, and, you know, even though we've hated Leno. But we've hated Leno. Let me ask you this, though. On a percentage basis, we hated Leno because he was a weasel to Letterman and Conan more than we hated Leno because he was a bad host of The Tonight Show.
No, I've hated him both. I mean, I don't know what you want to.
But if you want to say, but I would say I only hated Leno 30% for being a bad host of The Tonight Show. coughing on my words, choking on the very nature that I would say that is only 30%.
I would reverse that.
You would say you only 30% hated him because he was a dick to Leno and
maybe
to Letterman and Conan.
Maybe 60. Excuse me.
Take a break.
Maybe 60-40.
60-40.
I really did hate his show.
You really hated his show. You hated his lame. Well, the thing with Jay that, you know, and this is what Jay, and this is what Jimmy Fallon is going to have the hardest time replacing, at least in the eyes of Jay Leno fans, is the monologue. You know, the monologue was this thing that Leno worked very hard on. It was very long. It was all the news of the day, but put into joke form. And he was very proud of that. Now, I felt he shouldn't be as proud of the monologue because the jokes were very lame. But I also felt that when it came to telling lame news of the day jokes, that Jay Leno was kind of the king of that. And to watch Jimmy Fallon do it without the joke-telling talent of Leno, to me, is even worse.
Well,
you know, it's a guy doing Leno who's not Leno. That's my problem with it. And you can argue that Johnny Carson's monologue was bad, and it was. But Johnny kind of was winking and going, look, I know these suck, but let's get through this. And but I think in the case of Fallon, I just think it's like he's got to duplicate Leno, and it's just a lamer version of that. I mean, do you agree with that?
Well, I'm going to see what happens because they don't have the same audience. Fallon has a younger audience.
Right, but I'm saying there's an audience at 11:30, meaning these are the old farts who just watch the news. That's who your audience is, though. But Jimmy's going to bring people to it, but there is a built-in audience of this is who's watching television at 11:30 at night.
Yeah, but what I want to see is if Fallon retains that audience.
That's what I'm saying, but I'm saying he has to do it by being a bad version of Leno, which Leno, the real Leno stunk.
Right.
So I'm saying when you get that bad version of Leno, now people, what there are Fallon fans, as you call them, who enjoy all the stuff that Jimmy does.
Fallon fans,
as you call them.
I think the guy has fans.
Okay, the guy has fans. Joel Radio has fans. We all have fans, okay? We all agree. But my thing is, what people like about Jimmy Fallon, the singing, the dancing, the nice aw shucks kind of thing. Oh, I can't believe you're here, man. So cool. All that stuff that I sort of hate, which I haven't even really gotten into. There are people that find that endearing and enjoy that.
People want, you and I do not want what
right.
people want. People want happy talk.
Okay.
That's what they want.
Yeah.
They want happy talk,
happy
jibber
talk.
Jabber.
Sure.
All of morning TV.
Yes.
The shows that you and I hate the most.
You're absolutely right on this.
Live with Kelly and Michael is that, the most loathsome show I've ever seen.
It's an abomination of television.
It's a horror show
it
to
is.
Me.
Yes.
Because it's all this fake cheerfulness.
It is, yeah.
Now, I do a morning breakfast TV show.
You do, yes.
As a guest.
Yes.
On a frequent basis. And I'm the guy who comes in and goes, no, this kind of sucks.
Yeah,
and,
but...
And their butts clench every time I say
I know, but you're
sucks.
All you're just... You're on that show just not enough to where, you know, you're on the show just
right.
enough to where you're not bringing down their good time.
I know. If I was, but you know, I mean, if I'm on the couch or whatever,
yeah.
sometimes I just goof along.
Sure.
I try to go along with the flow.
Right.
But it's, you know, it's hard for them. They don't want anything negative.
They don't. They don't want any, like you made a joke about. On that, I mean, I want to get back to the film, but just now that you bring that up, didn't you make a joke about? Because I think I was watching when you talked about. I forget the movie, but who Forrest Whitaker had a weird eye.
Yes,
and
yes.
and I remember at the time. I'm not sure. I can't remember if it was Lee or Jason you were talking to at the time, but whoever was like, oh man, like somebody. I think it was Lee, and he was like, oh, you can't say that, Corey.
Yeah, I know.
And you're like, look at his eye. And you were making all these
but
eye
see,
jokes about Forrest Whitaker.
They kind of want me to be outrageous.
They do,
they,
yeah.
And believe me.
Yeah, and you could do 10 times worse than Forrest Whitaker's eye.
A lot of the talent there thinks it's really funny, and a
sure.
lot of the other
right.
the stagehands were like, oh, that was hilarious.
Yeah.
And then, you know, I got a couple people in the back room going, I don't know. and I'm like, that's
but
mild.
The Forrest Whitaker eye, like you've done on this show, since the show's been gone for an hour, we've been doing an hour, you've said 100 things worse than that in this last hour on this show alone.
On stage tonight.
Tonight
at the club, I said far worse stuff. And the headliner
said
worse.
Said far worse than that. Yeah, exactly, yeah.
So, I mean, we say offensive stuff all the time that is not to us that
right,
offensive.
Right, yeah, I know.
Like, there are things that would be too offensive for me.
Yeah. Right.
I don't say them on the comedy.
No, stage. And you didn't say, and you don't say them on the television show. But the television show has such a low threshold for offensiveness that the very nature that you know we can all joke about Forrest Whitaker's weird eye. I think that's safe. I don't think it's even an insult to Forrest Whitaker.
It's a thing.
But people are like,
you
can't say that about Forrest Whitaker's eye.
It's a thing you can correct.
Right.
I try not to make jokes about. Okay, I make jokes about fat people.
Yeah.
Because guess what? You can get your stomach stapled. You can
fat is generally an acquired condition. It's
you can
not
get
your
salad.
You're not born.
Once
fat.
In a while, there are people. Like you and I are genetically predisposed to carry weight.
I got it.
But if you and I really wanted to, I mean, both of our body types are fat people bodies. And if we really wanted to, though, we could lose weight.
We could. Yes, absolutely.
It's not something you're okay. Now, obviously, I make fun of racial stuff and ethnic stuff.
Yeah.
But I generally hope that the jokes I'm doing are to point out the absurdity of racism.
No, exactly. I hear
it's hard for people to get that. If you go up and go, what's with these fucking deaf retarded children? That's just being mean, right?
Everywhere you look, a wheelchair. What's the matter? You don't like walking?
There were some wheelchairs in the club tonight.
There were some wheelchairs at the comedy club.
And tonight, I have a bit about fat people riding wheel
hover
carts.
Arounds,
it's borderline.
It is. It is. No, absolutely. You could definitely.
Because I'm sure some fat guy.
You could,
some guy with a legitimate reason to be in a wheelchair is going to be mad at me. But I'm like, you know.
Some guy who lost his leg in Iraq to an IED.
Generally, human failure, human weaknesses and failures are funny.
Yes.
Diseases and
accidents and stuff are not.
I mean, although I've heard guys do really funny bits about, you know, sick kids and stuff.
Whatever.
There's really not a lot out of bounds. But on television, there's that much that's inbounds.
Sure. Yeah. Yeah. So so Fallon is trying to keep
like,
it safe.
It's kind of like Yakov Smirnoff said on when he was on Marin's show that you couldn't talk about politics, you couldn't talk about religion or sex.
Yeah.
So animals were a real popular
in Russia.
In
Soviet Russia.
You can't talk about sex or politics or religion, but so animals joke become very popular.
Speaking of animal jokes, did you notice Herman the Cat licking a gummy bear going, I'm not sure if I like this or not.
Well,
now that's how you know cats are assholes.
Mm-hmm.
Because a dog would woof. That's how you know dogs are better than cats, by the way, if I want to be a complete hack for a minute. Because dogs will eat whatever you're eating. If you're eating a Big Mac, you can just hand the dog the Big Mac bun and special sauce and everything.
Yeah.
The dog will wolf that down. Hand it to a cat. The cat's going to look at it. He's going to sniff it, and he's going to go, fuck you, I don't want it. Give me a can of that awful diarrhea-looking shit. That's what the cat wants. That smells like a fucking, you know, that smells like a, the fucking, you know, low tide. That's what the cat wants.
Well, cats are weird.
Yeah, so that's how you know dogs are better than cats. But anyway, the cat was licking a gummy bear, and it was hilarious. Okay. So Jimmy Fallon, getting back to him. So I live tweeted Fallon, and I said, and I'm going to read my first tweet about Jimmy Fallon.
Yeah.
This is, I think, the first one about Fallon. I said, and you can read this all on Joel Radio Show at Twitter. This is the first thing I said about him. This was far and away the best monologue so far for at Fallon tonight. I gave him credit for his monologue. I thought he did a fine job with the monologue on show 3. And then I said topics like Rob Ford, Hot Pockets, and Bob Costas are easy targets, but it was enough to please fans who may be missing Leno.
Huh?
That was my analysis. It's a smart analysis. Some people go on their Twitter, all they do is make lame jokes. I'm giving expert analysis.
Okay. Expert analysis.
Expert analysis.
From a man who knows.
Let's go to the Telestrator.
Joel Fregamani.
Joel Fregamani, you're a comedy expert. Tell us now, what do you think about the Jimmy Fallon monologue? Well, I thought the Rob Ford stuff was sort of low-hanging fruit, and, you know, Hot Pocket shit has already been done by Jim Gaffigan, beat that into the ground. And,
see, the difference with these guys is what Leno
Bob
did.
Bob Costas with the red eyes is being told by every fifth-grade kid in the back of the school bus now. But, all in all, considering the man, I thought it was all right.
Well, look, you can write a hack joke all day long.
Exactly, yeah.
I was talking to the valet at the club tonight.
Yeah.
One of the valet guys.
Yeah.
And we were talking about a bar in Royal Oak
sure.
in which the waitresses traditionally wear tight white shirts.
Yeah.
And are known for their buxom. And I said, I'm like, yeah, they make the girls take a test, and if you get all D's, you pass. That joke took me all of 4 seconds to write.
Hey-o.
And it was, you know what I mean? That's not an advanced level of jokesmanship.
That.
I know. But
well, you know, I had other stuff that was, but it started getting more progressively negative as he went on. He did a thing where they took all of Brian Williams' newscasts and they found that they could recreate, Rapper's Delight, I think it was.
Okay.
And so they put that to the beat of Rapper's Delight where they cut up, and it was pretty cleverly done. And I thought it was entertaining for what it was. But I also kind of go, okay, you're a Leno fan. You tune into Fallon, you get through the monologue, it's pretty good. Then they have Brian Williams rapping, which I know was like an editing trick, and they had Lester Holt was doing a verse, and then Brian was doing a verse. And it was very cute, but I go, I don't think the fans that would be there for Leno, I think they're changing the channel right then and there. I think that's not what they want to see.
Okay.
That they don't care. I mean, even though Rapper's Delight is from 1981 or whatever it's from, it's still like nobody is really tuning in to hear hip-hop parodies, okay?
Uh-huh.
So then you move along to the next segment. Jonah Hill and Jimmy are sitting on a couch backstage saying, isn't it weird how people use Twitter and everything's a hashtag? And they went into the discussion where everything was hashtag, hashtag this, hashtag that. And I'm going, these old people that might be watching right now, they don't even understand Twitter. So now you're further alienating the people who just sat through the rap song.
Well,
and I guess I'm coming to the
Tumblr jokes.
Right,
and
I'm coming to Fallon through the eyes of a Leno fan. I'm not coming through it through necessarily my eyes, but coming it through the eyes of a traditional Tonight Show fan. And I'm going, these people are not going to enjoy this.
Well, you know what though?
And first of all, the Jonah Hill thing was lame anyway.
I hate those people.
Yeah.
Leno fans. That Leno show was the most watered down, mediocre garbage.
It was
everything about comedy.
It was, but you have to know your audience. And I don't think you can make an audience. I don't think Jimmy Fallon has the numbers to make an audience out of these fucking Twitter jokes, okay?
Yeah.
So anyway, so you move on from the Jonah Hill thing. Again, this is all on Joel Radio Show at Twitter. Bradley Cooper comes out. Bradley Cooper, you watched a little bit, right? You saw the Bradley Cooper interview?
Yeah, a little.
Bradley Cooper says nothing. The worst interview ever.
Snore.
He brings out a piece of the set. Oh, I made this replica of the Chrysler building for you. It was clearly something that he, I don't know. If he swipes it. My comment on Bradley Cooper is that Bradley Cooper was looking old. That was something that I noticed. I thought Bradley Cooper, not as young and strapping as he used to be. And then there was the tweet that people liked that went viral. Is three people viral? I guess not. But I had 8 followers on fucking Twitter at this point because it's a new thing. But I said charades is next and that should be brutal. And then the charades thing. Now, they do these charades things, okay? And this is a thing he brought over from 1230. Playing charades, he's got his team. It's him. I believe it was him and Bradley Cooper against Tim McGraw and Emma Thompson.
Yeah,
I'm not sure. Emma Thompson wasn't even a guest on the show, but Tim McGraw was the musical guest. So they do this thing, and they're really playing charades. And I go, and I put on Twitter, I go, wouldn't it be way more entertaining to give the celebrities the answers in advance so at least they could make it more entertaining? Shouldn't they make it more like Hollywood Squares where they can bluff or something? You know what I mean? Like, they're really playing charades, and you're just like, oh, now I'm at a bad party. Actually, I had a comment.
I don't really see the point in all that.
Right, it just seems lame. I go because I wrote, am I watching Hollywood Game Night or Jimmy?
Well,
Fallon?
Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
Oh, Hollywood Game Night is genius. They're like, how do we fill?
Yeah,
it's 60 minutes of network time.
It is terrible.
With absolutely nothing.
Yeah.
And they said,
it's
fuck Seinfeld being
right,
the show about
right,
nothing. That's right. The show about nothing.
It is like you know. I guess they rejected celebrities doing their taxes or something. They just found celebrities and said, what can celebrities do for an hour will watch?
By the way,
yeah,
calling some of these people celebrities.
No, they have.
Is a real push.
I'm not. Who's the celebrity that's not a celebrity that's on Hollywood Game Night?
I saw one that was like Michael Chiklis had the most star power.
Well, but Michael Chiklis is on like 2 big
I
shows.
Know, but you know what I mean? It's just like.
Okay, but I mean, Jason Alexander's been
nights,
on there. Some nights
there are stars on
some
it.
Some nights there are. I'm not picking on them. I mean, I think they've had Mario Lopez. I think they've gone kind of low class a few times on that.
Look.
But my problem with Hollywood Game Night isn't the guest booking.
Why not just fucking do Pictionary?
Well, that's my point, and that's what Fallon is doing. Like, that's entertaining. And I'm like, look, you know when you and your friends sit around and watch charades and you're having a good time playing it? Guess who's not? Anyone watching that is not. You ever go to have one of these house parties or a game night? And like,
yeah, with your ex-girlfriend, we used to have a game night.
We used to have a game night. But the people that like don't want to play the game are never having any fun watching you play.
No.
Like, that's never a thing. Like, 4 people are playing euchre. The 5th guy's not having a blast watching you. Mm-hmm. And when 4 people are playing charades on Jimmy Fallon, we as the audience aren't having a good time either. It's fucking lame.
It is.
It's boring.
It's weak.
And listen, I get when you play cornhole or something or jarts or whatever the fuck they do on there. Or what is the thing when you throw the thing around the ladders with the ropes and all that shit? I kind of get where that's not a word game or that's not like something where you'd have to, you know. But this is one where like you just go, let's work this fucking thing. Let's go straight pro wrestling on this shit and just make up outrageous answers. And guys can't figure it out, but they say are wrong. You know, how great would it be to give these celebrities wrong fake answers when they're trying to guess walk like an Egyptian? And somebody saying walk like a man or something. You know what I mean? Like, you could work that. You could write that and make it funny. You could make it brilliant.
Well,
you could make it like.
It doesn't have a point of view. That is the problem.
It is. It isn't. But we see shows like Top Gear, where they always have a competition almost every week on Top Gear. You know those competitions are fixed. You know the fix is in on those. But it's funny because the participants have a natural rivalry. They have charisma. They put each other down. It's entertaining.
Okay.
This Jimmy Fallon charades is fucking lame as all fucking get out. Fuck.
Jimmy Fallon is the closest to me in chronological age of any talk show
he's
host.
He's 39 years old. Is that what he is?
Right.
He's younger than I am.
Right. But he's in my demo.
He's in your demo.
And I have the least in common with him.
Yes.
Or at least from a perspective.
In a sense, yeah, absolutely.
His comedic perspective, I don't appreciate.
Letterman is how old? 60?
Yeah.
You and Letterman, you're on the same wavelength.
Well, it's just like, that's what I'm saying. Fallon is the talk show host for me. He's my generation.
Conan's 50, but you get
Conan's
him.
Older than us,
yeah,
but
right.
I feel more like he's younger.
Yeah, yeah.
In a weird way.
Right, I get what you're
Fallon
saying.
Fallon is like the fucking Carol Burnett show.
It kind of is.
Now, I do appreciate Jimmy Fallon. You don't like the songs. I think some of the songs are funny, and his impressions are good when he does, like, Bob Dylan.
I get it. I get it.
It's a dead-on impression.
Like, every impressionist, it's got to be good material. It's not enough to just do the impression. You have to have good material to go with the impression.
Well,
and when he did Neil Young did Pants on the Ground, like, that was funny. Some of the other ones I've seen, who did Charles in Charge? Was that Dylan? He did that
Dylan
as Dylan?
Dylan did Charles in Charge.
That was lame. Charles in Charge isn't funny.
Well, the best part about it was the delivery of the Dylan.
Was fine.
No, I'm saying the content, you're right. Singing Charles in Charge, that joke is over after 10.
But he also does lame stuff, like he has Bruce on, who I love. And Bruce Springsteen, right. Big fan. He has Bruce on, and he's doing Bruce next to Bruce.
Right.
Why not do Dylan singing with Bruce,
his impression of Dylan was good, and then he did the one note that he blows on the harmonica, and he got that bit about
right.
Dylan.
Right, yeah, I get that, and it's fine.
It's a good impression.
Okay.
There's no content.
But the content's not good, and it's also the mistake that SNL makes, and there's a lot of parallels between SNL and Fallon, and yeah, they're both produced by what's-his-face,
Lorne
Michaels.
You're going to say my number one pet peeve
is
in comedy.
Doing the celebrity impression with the celebrity sitting there.
It's the stupidest
thing. Does that every time. When people come out, oh, can you do me, Jimmy? And then he'll try to do them. And lame.
I realize, of course, that you and I are not the regular audience.
Right. We're not.
Here's what you and I don't.
We're inside comics. We see.
After 15 years in show business.
Yeah.
And me as a entertainment journalist.
Sure.
And a comedian.
Podcaster.
And you as a comedian.
Sure.
Who's done a lot of shows with a lot of people.
Right.
We're not as thrilled by celebrities.
It isn't. No, I don't. Yeah.
It's less of a
deal that was the thing
to you and me.
That was the thing he did on show one when he said, I made a bet with somebody that if I was host of Tonight Show, they had to give me $100. And a parade of celebrities came out with zero content behind them, literally walked out on stage and handed him $100. Stephen Colbert hit him, threw a bunch of pennies over his head.
I'm interested in celebrities that I think are interesting.
Right. Yeah. It's
Or
it's,
if there's someone I respect
right.
or. Someone who's fun. Okay, I'll always watch Bill Murray do an interview.
Sure,
because Bill Murray's interesting.
He's interesting, yeah.
But Brad Cooper coming out and talking about, you know, his ski ticket in Vail.
He didn't even do that much. I mean, Bradley Cooper did nothing on that show.
Or, you know,
he talked about American Hustle and David O. Russell, and they sucked his nuts for a minute. He was in the crowd.
I don't get anything out of
it. Yeah, it was bad. It was really a bad.
And you know why?
Because
I've been in rooms with guys like
Bradley
Cooper.
Yeah.
And you know what I know?
Yeah.
Most of them are fucking vapid.
Well, yeah. I mean, and I'm not picking on Bradley Cooper. It just wasn't a good segment. But I'm putting that on Fallon. Why do they not have a pre-interview and say, hey, tell us a funny story about promoting American Hustle on the road. Tell us a film
festival
story.
You and I are also both longtime fans of Howard Stern.
Exactly.
And Howard Stern now is a debacle of a sham. He's giving away boxes of kittens with his stupid, no talent, bow-legged,
quasi-model
wife.
I'm not going to pick on his wife. I don't believe
that turbo skank.
I have no problem with
stupid Animal League. He's a parody of all the things.
I agree that
Howard is corrupted and sick and wrong. Okay, Leno was once a
Howard's
funny comic.
Howard's not what he used to be. I still like Howard.
You know all these bad comics?
Howard is one of the few geniuses in comedy that has existed at the same time as me on this planet. I'm not going to pick on Howard.
If you think his show is
I'm not saying Howard's show is good
now.
I'm not saying it is.
Okay.
But
I'm not no, I love Howard. I've got, you know, Private Parts and Miss America sitting on my bookshelf.
Yeah.
I love Howard. I've loved Howard for years.
Yes.
It is not the same quality of show.
I understand. But to me,
and all it takes, he runs reruns.
Yeah, and those are great.
I listen to one from like 1994.
And it's tremendous.
And listen to it now.
Yeah.
And you're like, you know what? Because Howard had, even when they were doing shticky bits, they had honesty.
Yeah, yeah.
Or they told, okay. I've always been addicted to, I've been interested in show business, but I've been addicted to the truth in show business.
Behind the scenes.
How shitty.
What do people really think about
each other? How shitty people really are. How weird people are.
And you know it's all there.
That's what I like about Seinfeld's show, which we talked about.
Yeah.
It's how weird they are.
Yes.
Some people come on that show and can't help but be weird.
Comedians in cars getting coffee.
We bitched about the whole racial controversy.
Yeah,
I won't
get
into that again.
Yeah.
Because it's still going on in comedy
forums. God forbid. We wasted too much time on that.
I understand. It's the dumbest non-scandal.
Yeah.
But I don't know if we got into this last week. Leno came on there and The premise is called Comedians in Cars Getting Coffee.
Yes.
And Leno's got...
Oh, you're going to go down this
rabbit
hole.
Leno's got an airplane hangar full of cars. Okay, right? He's got Dusselberg.
He literally does have an air... It's at the airport, right?
It's at the Burbank airport.
It's where Leno...
He has a hangar.
Yeah.
Now, Letterman also has a huge car collection.
As the Seinfeld has a whole building in Manhattan full of Porsches.
You never hear about Letterman's car collection. And Letterman, of course, has an Indy 500 racing team.
Right, yeah.
He's got...
Well, wasn't in Letterman's Comedians and Cars, he had, like, the station wagon that was, like, a race car that Paul Newman had made or something? Yeah, it was something ridiculous like that. But go ahead about Leno. No, go ahead, because I know where you're going.
The fucker's got an airplane hangar full of every... He's got steam-powered cars. He's got, like, electric cars from 1903.
Yes.
He's got, you know, every production model of everything.
Sure.
And the premise is Comedians in Cars Getting Coffee. So, of course, he's going to appreciate the car.
Yeah.
And it was some cool... I don't remember what the car was, but it was something...
Leno's...
No, it was Seinfeld pulled up in a car
that Leno...
And Leno thought it was cool.
I can't remember. It was an old Porsche, wasn't it?
It was a rare Porsche. It was made in Austria or something.
A 1940s Porsche or something.
Okay.
Yeah.
It was something
1950s Porsche. Something
it was
like
made in Austria.
Yeah, rare low number.
Right. And so Leno thought it was cool. Yeah. It's called Comedians in Cars Getting Coffee.
Okay.
These fuckers can't even get a cup of coffee.
Well, that...
They go and they... Leno goes and says, I've never had a cup of coffee in my life. I've never ordered a cup of coffee.
Jerry calls you on the phone and you hear Jay go, I've never had coffee, but okay, I'll go.
I've never had a coffee.
And they go to some...
Jay Leno is 62 years old.
Right.
Never had a goddamn cup of coffee.
And they go to some gourmet coffee place, some shishi... $8 a cup coffee joint where they grinding their own shit right there in front of you.
Yeah.
And Leno gets what probably, if you've never had coffee, that's probably not the coffee you'd want to have for the first time anyway. Can we admit
that? No, it's going to be probably the good coffee.
You think so? You don't think a guy would just want...
Yeah, high-end coffee is
the guy
really...
wouldn't just want like a Dunkin' Donuts or a McDonald's coffee for your first coffee.
Those are more acidic and harsh.
Really? Okay.
The high-end coffee...
So you're saying this would be a delicious coffee.
I had a cup of coffee in Seattle that I think about every day. And I drink.
Do you think about that while you're thinking about those girls' tits that you would trade your dick picture for?
Right after that.
So would you trade a picture of your dick for a cup of the Seattle coffee?
Yes, absolutely.
So if you have a coffee shop, Corey will send you a picture of his dick.
I don't even remember the name of the place.
Right.
It's in Fremont. In the neighborhood.
So you were out hanging out with Nigel Rosenblum and you got a coffee.
This was the coffee shop like up the street from his house.
This is just his local, not even a destination coffee spot. Just the one around the corner from him.
But in Seattle, they take the coffee seriously.
Yeah, that's...
And this was like a fabulous... And I went to the place like two or three... I was only there for like four days and went to it like three times. I'm just saying, I drink a lot of coffee.
You do, yeah.
I don't think everybody drinks whatever. If you don't drink coffee, but not everybody drinks coffee every day.
Yeah.
Some people don't. But to say at 60 years old,
I've never had a cup of coffee.
Not to mention you're in show business,
right? Yeah.
You've hosted a talk show for 22 years.
Yeah.
There has been coffee in the building.
You sit in a writer's room for 12 hours a day.
Right.
No one's having coffee. You have a staff.
Yeah. There's 45 people on your staff.
They're fueled by coffee and all.
They're all drinking coffee all day. You have assistants that run out and get everybody Starbucks.
Yeah.
Right?
Sure.
You're in Hollywood, California.
Yeah.
You've been in comedy clubs.
Yeah.
A lot of comedy clubs have coffee.
Sure.
Right?
I guess, sure.
David Letterman sits around and drinks a cup of coffee.
Probably.
When you were friends with Letterman in the 70s, when people were probably coming down from all the drugs they did, they'd go get a cup of coffee.
At 2 a.m., they'd go, the comedy store would shut down.
They'd go to Cantor's Deli.
And they'd go and have coffee.
You never had a cup of coffee in your fucking life? That is absurd.
Listen.
It's stupid.
First of all, let me explain. I'm going to defend Leno just a tiny bit, if I may. Just a tiny bit.
Mm-hmm.
Just a tiny bit. Okay.
It's a lie.
I know.
It's a flat out
lie.
Okay,
listen. I agree. First of all, when we had this conversation on the phone, I sat there and I said, where do I jump in and tell Corey I've never had a cup of coffee? And then I realized I'm being completely disingenuous. I had coffee. My family makes, like, if we have a family dinner, like a Christmas dinner, my uncle, I have an Italian uncle who loves to make cappuccino. He makes it the way he made it in the old country. He's got a special way.
Exactly.
And I generally will have a cappuccino with him. So I'm having cappuccino maybe three times a year with my uncle.
Okay.
That's my extent of coffee.
You're an Italian. Right. You've had to have an espresso. At
have
some
an
point
I think it's espresso. But anyway, okay. We have an espresso, okay. Whatever it is. Yeah, but it's a little cup, little tiny
if
cup.
It's got
you put a little rum in it or something.
If it's got milk in it, it's a cappuccino. If it's
I think we don't put milk
shot
in it. Okay. We put sugar and some kind of booze in it, generally speaking.
Right,
amaretto
fine.
Or
okay.
Bailey's or okay. something, we'll put that
but
in.
But you've had coffee.
So that is coffee.
Yeah,
I admit,
even, but see,
I've had coffee.
I'm not even saying.
I can't say I'm Leno and that I haven't had coffee. I've had coffee.
Okay.
But.
I'm not even saying you have to be a regular coffee drinker.
Right.
Whatever.
Right. I don't drink coffee on a regular basis. I own a coffee maker. If someone comes over, I can make them coffee. I can provide them coffee. I myself won't drink it. I met a girl recently for a date at a Starbucks.
And you didn't have a coffee.
And I told her I'm not going to drink coffee on this date. I was actually going to get some other drink at Starbucks, but we
get
ended
like
up,
a hot chocolate or something.
That's what I was going to get. But she got a carry out and we went to a diner and I had a Boston cooler. But here's the point. My problem, I get what you're saying about Leno, and it's insane that he's never had coffee. And it's funny how he drank it in the show,
and
he was kind of like, he's kind of like half spitting it out like he's an 8-year-old boy or something. And I get that that's weird, but I also have a problem with you, and I've gone through this with you personally, not necessarily about coffee,
sure.
about like shaming people over the food that they eat. And I think that's a really aggressive
I'll tell you what, though.
Egotistical thing to do to people. There's no harm in not drinking coffee. I get it that you're going like there's a guy who never eats vegetables and you're an idiot because you're going to die young.
Jay Leno.
There's guys who only subsist on macaroni and cheese and that's disgusting and I'm agreeing with you on
everything
that.
Everything what I don't like about Leno as the host of Tonight Show.
Yeah.
For a guy who is a comedian.
Yeah.
Who is trying to reach the broadest possible audience.
Sure.
I do not get an impression of an inner life from Jay Leno.
Well,
or if
I just don't get how you base that all on a cup of coffee. I don't get that at all.
If you are a 60-year-old man and you've never had a cup
but
of coffee.
But you know more. Leno goes to comedy clubs. You know he does all these gigs. You know that he sits up all night writing jokes. What difference does it make if he's drinking Coca-Cola or coffee?
It's, you know why? Because he seems like a baby.
Because you think that everybody that is in this world of show business needs to be fueled by coffee, and that's where we go to be inspired. We sit around with a cup of coffee and we come up with all this stuff, and it's not...
It's not even that.
Yeah.
I am a coffee drinker.
Right.
I drink probably...
You have a romantic notion of coffee.
I've been drinking coffee since I was a teenager.
That's fine. I'm not shaming you for drinking, but see, I don't shame somebody for drinking coffee.
Okay. But what I'm saying is a drink of coffee. Okay.
Yes.
If he had said he'd never had a beer. Too,
okay. Sure.
I would have also found that.
No, I do that. Find that weird. And like Penn Jillette will say that I've never had a drop of alcohol. I'm 60 years old.
Even if you're not like me where you have 3-4 cups of coffee a day.
Yeah.
I love coffee. Drink it all day.
Yeah.
Even if you're not like that, you've had a cup of coffee at some point in your life as a fully rounded adult.
Sure.
In America. You know, this would be like an Englishman being like, I've never had tea.
Yeah, okay,
it
that's
makes
true.
Makes no fucking
Guys
sense.
Guys just say they've never had a beer. That's like, that is weird.
It's just in the course of
being
an adult human being in America.
Yeah.
At some point, you must have had a cup of coffee. That to me just defines what a weirdo.
But is it,
Jay Leno is.
Is not having
and
coffee
I said weirdo
but I,
in a weird way.
But is one thing evidence of the other, or are you just turning it as just making this fueling your anger for Leno? Let's say a guy
if there's somebody
that you admire in comedy or a writer or whoever, somebody in showbiz that you admire, and they come out and go, I've never had a cup of coffee, maybe it wouldn't be a big deal because you like them
I'd still think
not knowing
weird.
Their coffee habits.
I'd still think it was weird.
Okay.
Larry David.
Yes.
Who I generally like.
You do like Larry David, yes. And I do as well.
I mean, it's not my favorite comic ever, but I find Larry David amusing.
He's entertaining, yes.
He was weird on the show, too.
Yeah. Because he never had a pancake? Wasn't that his thing?
He was not allowing himself to have a pancake.
Okay.
You know what I mean? Like, it's all these things that people do. I understand you want to change your diet.
But
it's like, he's like, if I eat one pancake, I'll eat a pancake every day.
Yeah.
And it's like... No.
Right.
What it is.
But is it also that Larry David takes his neuroses and his little foibles and his little eccentricities and makes that his act, whereas at Leno, he'll never talk about how he never had coffee. There's no Jay Leno stand-up comedy that's based upon he's never had a cup of coffee. It's all about how come the guy at the McDonald's is an idiot. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, Leno doesn't Leno doesn't use that personality quirk about I've never had a cup of coffee in his act. He just sort of puts it out there as I'm just weird, whereas Larry takes it and builds a whole episode of Curb Your Enthusiasm over a pancake,
it's more
for
than
example.
That. It is that Jay presents himself as the regular guy Joe America.
Yeah. Okay.
And yet he is not.
So what you're saying
I don't think he's representative of a regular adult male. He's never had a vegetable. He's never had a cup of coffee.
Okay.
He only wears denim when he's not at work. He has an airplane hangar full of cars.
He does.
He, according to that 60 Minutes interview, has developed no other interests.
All he wants to do is tell
outside
jokes.
Of cards.
Cars and jokes.
He goes
That's it.
To the Comedy and Magic Club in Hermosa Beach on Sunday night.
On Sunday.
Tells jokes.
Right. He's on the road right now. You know, he did a show. I think he signed off on a Thursday night or something, and he was working Saturday night in Florida. Mm-hmm. He was telling he was doing live dates.
Every hotel room I've ever been in, from the top of the line, from the Four Seasons to the Essex House in New York, the St. Regis, to the Days Inn in Ottumwa, Iowa,
sure,
has a coffee maker.
Okay.
Jay Leno's a comedian.
I'm with you a little bit.
It's odd.
Think
it's just odd.
But you're connecting a bunch of dots about how you.
I don't even have to. He doesn't even have to like it.
Listen,
but to claim he never had a cup of coffee. Penn Jillette says he's never had alcohol.
Yeah, exactly.
And you know what? Hey, Penn.
He's
I
a
love Penn.
Too. Yeah.
Hey, Penn's a genius.
Right.
I really think Penn's a great. He seems like a lovely guy.
Sure.
And I listen to his podcast a lot, so I feel like you listen to people long enough.
Yeah.
People have listened to this.
He's smart. He's talented.
God knows we give
yes.
enough of ourselves on this
Absolutely.
Stupid fucking show. People can get an impression of you.
Yes.
If you've never had a drink of alcohol in your life, if you've never had a cup of coffee, it's not like you're saying, I've never shot heroin into my dick.
Right.
Okay? That's an extremity.
That is, yeah. Like, I can say that.
That's,
I've never...
You know, I've never done heroin.
Yeah, I've never snorted cocaine. I've never done that. Okay, I've never snorted cocaine, but that's fine.
And I didn't like it.
Exactly, but whatever, yeah.
But I did it.
Sure.
Look, I will say this. It just seems to me that you're not a man in full.
Sure.
You are a weird creation. I know artists are weird. I know comics are weird.
Yes.
But they reveal themselves to be very weird on these shows. Howard Stern ordered a cup of hot water. What kind of bullshit is that?
That is weird too, but you know
Howard,
what?
Howard, he's with the eating the potato. He's got all these weird food.
Howard
roles.
Does have weird food.
I've gotten on your case many times.
Right.
My dad is a picky eater.
Yes,
I hate it. It's a personal pet peeve of mine. So Jay Leno seems to me to be like my dad.
Okay,
in that he's this like locked into like being 6 years old.
Right,
and ooh, that's gross.
Yeah.
And to me, that's kind of. If you're a comedian, if you're a cultural critic, if you're a guy your job is to process the culture through a filter and look at it and go, what are the things that are silly or absurd in this culture? When you yourself are a freak and a weirdo, I think you're then, you know what I mean?
I'm with you to a point on this.
Okay.
I'm with you to a point and I'm completely against you on another point. So I'm conceding... I concede with all that you say in theory. Your example of that, Leno never having a cup of coffee, I disagree with your example. I agree with your premise.
Okay.
But I disagree. I agree with your theory, but not the example of that
all
theory.
Right. Well,
so there you go.
It's just weird.
It is weird. He's weird.
People are like, I've never had a Dorito. What kind of asshole are you?
Do you want to get more into Fallon? Do you want to? I think we started with Fallon.
What? At least Fallon.
You know Fallon's had coffee. Oh
Fallon
my God.
Drinks a fucking coffee every day.
Look, Fallon's probably sucked a dick too. I mean, he's had everything, but I mean, no reason to like the guy.
Fallon's got I'm sure he's got a special order from fucking Starbucks. Or
I'm sure
he doesn't go to Starbucks. He's like,
he probably
I go to Coffee Bean and Tea Leaf, or I go to Pete's or whatever. Yeah. He's fucking. But at least get a feeling like Jimmy Fallon has had experience of life. In a wider perspective. I don't know. To me, if you're going to be an artist, if you're going to be a performer of any kind, putting arbitrary limits on what you will and will not do in terms of this and that doesn't
I don't
make
know
you,
that,
I don't know.
I don't feel that food is ever arbitrary. I think what people put into their body, whether it be drugs, food, or you know, parts of other people's bodies is entirely up to them. And I think they have good reasons for not doing it. And to a lot of people, though, you know, their taste buds are a defense mechanism for the rest of their body, which may not be able to handle coffee or might not be able, in my case, I can't eat spicy food because it makes me sick. So when I smell spices or I taste spices, I go, oh, this is going to make me sick. It's my body's defense mechanism against getting sick.
Well,
is saying I can't eat these things. And, you know, the fact that somebody can't eat spices or something. And again, this isn't Leno and coffee. I get that. But it's also with some people, it's a way of going, oh, I just can't do that because it's going to make me ill. So that's really good.
Well, you know, I just feel like you should, right.
And you don't have that hurdle to get over, and that's fine. That's not your cross to bear. I get that, but it also
try something before you don't like it.
Okay, that's fine. That's fine. Okay. Getting back to Jimmy Fallon.
All right,
because I've tried Jimmy Fallon and I don't like it. I can honestly say I fucking live tweeted. I sent out 30 fucking tweets in an hour show live last night. For fuck's sake.
Yeah.
Okay. Here's my point. I'm taping it right now. It's airing as we're talking. All but here's right. the point. I liked Jimmy Fallon. I thought you two on Jimmy Fallon on night one was entertaining. Mm. I thought that Seinfeld on night two was entertaining on Jimmy Fallon. But as a whole, I don't think that Jimmy Fallon is bringing a quality show. And it doesn't mean that people won't like it. Regis fucking goddamn Philbin, who is kind of half out of my life at this point, although he still pops up on stuff.
He's all out of my life. I don't
was,
know.
Was one of the biggest wastes of skin. The guy was a talentless hump. The guy did nothing on television. He sat, again, I've said this, the list of guys who sat with Regis Philbin and whoever the host was, whether it be Kathy Lee or Kelly or Joy or whoever was sitting next to him, was a who's who of Hollywood, the likes of which, if you had an archive of tapes in 100 years mm-hmm. of whatever celebrities you could ever have, no one would have a better a list just on paper than Regis Philbin. And yet those tapes are completely worthless to everybody because nothing was ever discussed. No truths were ever revealed. Nothing interesting was ever said. It was, come on, tell us about your Memorial Day. All right, what did you think? You went with the family? Okay, well, we've seen the movie, and the movie's great. Tell everyone about the movie before we have to go. Well, this movie is great. It was adapted on a book and it's really great. We got a great cast, and the director was really wonderful. And, you know, I hope everybody takes a chance to see it. Well, I'll tell you, that was swell. I've never seen
it. Because look, all of these talk shows are promotional.
Right.
They're a publicity wing of show business.
Exactly.
And they're about pushing a product.
And
you and I have always responded to the moments of honesty.
Right.
Which is why... Everything
but there's
you
a different theory. Here's
different.
A different theory. Yeah. But they're afraid of it. Hollywood's afraid of it, and Fallon's playing into it. If you want to sell tickets, or you want to make somebody a celebrity, or you want to make them famous, or make the public care about them or have interest in them, let them be real. Let them tell interesting stories about their lives, and people will care. Nobody cares what you did on your fucking Memorial Day weekend. It's not interesting. But when you tell people about your lives and your struggles, and this is the way that Howard Stern interviews, and the way that, you know, even Letterman will come mm-hmm. up with some interesting thing from your life that you talk about, mm-hmm. and you just go, that is, you know, this is making that person more interesting by telling an interesting story. By having a celebrity come out and just kind of wave and laugh affably at Regis's, you know, quips, I don't think that's making that celebrity more interesting to the public. It's making me less interested in their product because I don't care about the person.
Well,
if I care about the person, I might care about their product.
But they're afraid of offending anybody.
They are, and it's so stupid.
I think about this sometimes.
And when he has Bradley Cooper out and can't ask him one fucking goddamn question about anything,
well,
I mean, it's annoying.
I'm in the opinion business.
Yes.
Most of the money I make during the year.
And that's fine.
Comes from
not everyone should be.
Right. But I'm in the opinion business, and most of the money that I make during a year comes from having an opinion.
Exactly.
And most of the trouble in my life comes from having an opinion.
Sure. There's a time and a place for everything.
But unfortunately, I'm a guy who never keeps his opinions to himself.
Yeah, you should.
And I probably should in some
cases. There are instances, and I think in instances of like social media and things, where your big mouth gets you in trouble.
I say a lot less stuff on social media than I have in years.
And you should.
But today I got into a fight over whether about the cast of the Fantastic Four. It wasn't even a fight. It was a discussion.
You gave an opinion, and you called me when I talked to you on the phone earlier today. You said that I think it's the Human Torch shouldn't be a black guy. It's Michael B. Jordan or whatever his name is going to be the Human Torch in Fantastic Four, and you're like, that isn't right.
Well, I thought the whole cast was off.
Okay.
Because the guy playing the Thing is a paunty little British guy. And the Thing, for his 50 years of existence,
was Michael Chiklis.
Was a big, stocky palooka.
Yeah.
right? From
well, they're digitally going to make him a big palooka, but in his
no, but in,
human form, he
in
was
his
still
human form.
He was still a fire plug
like a
of
big
a man, yeah,
palooka, okay. Yeah. And was a guy, you know, as he's been drawn as the Fantastic Four debuted in like 1962,
yeah,
and had been drawn as four white people,
and Torch was a white guy, yeah,
and
okay.
The Human Torch is the brother,
yeah,
the biological brother of the Invisible Woman.
Okay,
so they're both blonde people. And have been drawn as such since 1962 in
okay.
God knows how many thousands of comic books,
yes,
and multiple cartoon series and two shitty live action movies.
Yes.
And it's just like, at this point, you're changing the character because why?
I'm sort
and
of
not
with
that
you
I'm opposed
I can't...
to. It's not, okay. Prior to Marvel Comics, okay, there were no black characters in comics.
Sure.
And then they created the Black Panther and the Falcon. So that, you know what they did? They made new black characters.
They did. Okay.
And here's what I'm saying.
All right.
You want Asians in
here's
movies.
Here's my problem.
You want blacks in movies.
Okay.
You want Latinos. Fucking make something new.
I'm with you on this. Here's the problem. You're trying to defend Marvel Comics as if they're somehow making a... Listen, a black guy shouldn't play a movie, a biopic of the life of General George S. Patton.
I know.
Forrest Whitaker shouldn't play that role, okay? That would be wrong. I agree with you. That's wrong. But I don't think you can take an imaginary fictional character, mm-hmm, even though, yes, he does exist in this world of fiction, in that world, and say that, you know, when you take him into the real world, you don't have to make some compromise to the fictional elements of him. And all of the elements of him are fictional. His race is fictional. His height is fictional. His age is fictional. Where he lives is fictional. There's nothing real about him. It's a figment of somebody's imagination.
I know.
Now, granted, you could say, why not, if you want to make a movie, just make up four superheroes, call them something else, and you can have the black, the white guy, the Jew, the spick, the whole fucking thing. By the way, it's a great comic book. Nobody
yes,
steal that.
I know.
I'm going to start working on that soon. But once I get this Twitter going, it's going to be fantastic. But
the
listen,
Rainbow Coalition.
The faggot, all those guys. Listen.
The faggot.
Listen, here's the thing.
Thank you for that.
Here you go. I just think it's a lot of yeah, anger over nothing.
What does James it's Bond
a
look like?
James Bond is a white guy. He's from England.
Okay.
But I've heard Idris Elba is James Bond pitched.
I know.
He could be the next
Bond. And the problem is, though, if you bring up this issue, you just sound like the worst.
Well,
horrible.
It's
you're a bigot. I am all for diversity.
It's kind
I'm
of a slippery
for...
slope where you do end up looking like a bigot. You do end up looking like something that you're not because you're just going,
I'll
you know.
I'll tell you this what. I'll tell you what. Yeah. All these people that are like, we must be racially sensitive.
Yeah.
It's never. It's always white people
yeah,
that give up a part. It's, you know what I mean?
Well,
you will never have one time will a black fictional character be played by a white. They won't be like, in the new Star Wars movie,
yeah,
Jeremy Irons is going to be Lando Calrissian.
Right.
Once you create a black character, there's never going
but
back.
Don't you feel that movies and comic books are sort of a different... They're definitely a different media, and therefore one is human beings reenacting something and the other one is not. The other one is
drawing Star Wars pictures. Is just as fictional. James
but,
Bond
but
is just
Star
as
Wars
fictional.
Has always been acted by people.
Yeah.
And the Fantastic Four has not always been acted by people.
Right.
And it's sort of like when they take, you know, when they took... See, I'm going to argue dumb examples to refute your dumb example. And the answer is we're both dumb. But when they took Batman, when Batman was a big tough guy on the 60s television series, and Tim Burton in 1989... you know, rebooted Batman for the big screen, and he took Michael Keaton.
It's debatable if Adam West,
who was kind of a nerd. Well, okay, but he beat people up with his fist.
Sure.
That was Batman's modus operandi.
Yes.
He didn't even use a bunch of gadgets. He just basically drove the car and went there and punched guys.
Once
in
a while,
he'd
throw a gas pellet.
Yeah,
or something.
Yeah, exactly. So when they took and they made Batman cerebral and, you know, having to rely on gadgets and sort of a tortured individual, people thought, oh, that's wrong, that's wrong.
Oh, people,
you shouldn't do that, you shouldn't do that.
There is nerd rage. There's nerd rage which attends the casting of most actors.
Sure.
In a comic book movie.
Absolutely.
They went, who the fuck is Christopher Reeve?
Well, the whole thing, Lord of the Rings, Star Wars, any of those where they cast people, everybody, it's wrong, yeah, all the
I mean,
way
down we weren't we weren't really aware of it because we were little, but when they cast Christopher Reeve, he was like a soap opera actor that nobody
knew. Yeah.
They went, who the fuck is this guy?
Right.
When they cast Michael Keaton. The outrage, this was pre-internet.
It was pre-internet.
And I remember, though, the the like
it was in like Premiere magazine or
it was in all the movie like, magazines
right,
and
yeah.
all the
Starlog or
all
something,
the comic book fan magazines and stuff. The Outrage Starlog had like
sure
they could have put out a 800 page they could have put out an 800 page issue of Starlog that was just fan letters about how fucking stupid it was to cast Michael Keaton. Some of these choices work out in the long run and look good.
Right.
Some of them just don't.
Well,
and
so part of my argument with you is, A, you're judging things too early, and two, it's their property, and they're going to do with it what they want.
Well, the other problem with this is that before Marvel became this big hit machine...
Oh, here you go.
No. They sold the properties off to different studios.
Oh.
That's why we're getting a third Fantastic Four movie, because
nobody liked the
last one anyway.
Exactly, okay. The Jessica World, Alba ones or whoever.
Right,
yeah,
they made
Chiglis.
Actually, the first one made some money, so they made a second one, but nobody liked
it. But
and you won't find fans of those movies
But
anyway.
Your argument is that, you know, this...
Fox is doing this
This multi-billion dollar film studio can't do the same good, won't do as good a job as this other multi-billion film
Which,
dollar film
no,
studio.
You know what?
Which they both are clearly capable of making a good movie.
But guess what?
I'm not saying they both will.
Okay, well, guess what?
But I don't think you can get to some sort of auteur theory over the actual Marvel studio, as it's owned by whoever.
I can and will.
You goddamn it. And you spent 30 minutes telling me you enjoyed tits at the beginning of the show. And now it's all coming out.
I'll make this argument. Marvel has had multiple successes with Iron Man and Thor and Captain America that were both financial and critically well received.
Sure.
Warner Brothers, which puts out DC Comics, did well with the Batman movies.
Yes.
And everything else they've tried to do has turned to poo-poo.
Okay.
Green Lantern bombed
the
in a
Supermans
big way.
Have been bad the last couple Supermans.
I'm saying that the studios do not have some. There is a difference in the culture of the studios. And Fox. Tries to do things on the cheap.
Yeah.
They did the X-Men, they've done fairly well with
it. So your point is that this is Fox doing Fantastic Four.
And they fucked up the first two. You know what it is? It's the same thing
but
as
there's
like,
also a thing about
okay, in okay. sports, a GM gets to hire how many coaches? We talked about this earlier.
Yeah, we were talking about the Pistons.
Now
and
it's
they,
like
they
Fox
fired,
is making
know,
their
yeah,
third
yeah.
Fantastic
okay.
Four movie.
Okay.
And if they fuck this one up,
here's
you know.
Let me throw this at you.
Yeah.
When you cast a Hollywood movie, a big studio Hollywood movie. There's only a bank of actors that you can use. Now, you can use, quote-unquote, air quotes here, you can use whoever you want. Right. And Quentin Tarantino will be a guy like, oh, I saw this movie in the middle of the night at 2 a.m. from the 70s, and I'm going to find that guy who's working in an oil change place in the valley and put him in a movie and make him a star, okay? But for most people who are trying to make a hit, they take these certain actors that were in these like smaller movies, maybe critically acclaimed, and they sort of build them up into these properties, and they sort of put this Miles Teller guy, who was in a movie called Spectacular Now that I reviewed on my on the best
and
of
he was
the
also
year.
In with Michael B. Jordan.
With Michael B. Jordan.
In That Awkward Moment.
That Awkward Moment, which came out.
But that's the problem with
Michael
this
B. Jordan was in Chronicle, which was a great comic book movie, even though it really was a new fiction. Michael B. Jordan was in that, and he was good in that. So, listen, I think, but my point is when you cast these movies, you're not going to just go, I mean, you can do the open casting call and get a complete unknown, or this is how you do it, or you take, like, an established star and put them in the role. And I think Fantastic Four is generally considered a younger characters, right? The characters maybe necessarily?
Mr. Fantastic has gray temples from the beginning.
Okay, but like,
you know what
when
I mean?
They did the X-Men origin story thing, they went and largely got unknowns. Even like Jennifer Lawrence was in that, who wasn't even famous when she did that movie, right? The Matthew Vaughn X-Men. My point is,
I don't
there's a
argue
Hollywood
the dork nuances.
There's a
it.
Hollywood machine, and it's going to cast the guy that was in Fruitvale Station and the guy from Spectacular Now and put them into a name above the title action movie because they have powerful agents, and that's how these things
that's
work.
That's how these things work.
And that's
but
it's not
often,
always a bad thing.
Well, I just don't think Michael B. Jordan isn't putting any asses in the seats. He's
the
not
property
they're trying
will put
to build...
the asses in the seat. They want guys who are good actors. And Miles
I
Teller
I don't think he's a bad
Miles
actor
Teller's either. A great actor. I don't know from this Michael B. Jordan. I didn't see some of those movies, but
Fruitvale Station he was good
right,
in.
Okay, but Miles Teller is good in Spectacular Now and he's good in these other things I've seen all him right. in. So I'm not going to dump on the guy.
Well, the other thing
I'm not
about
dumping
this...
on the guy because I have a stack of comics book and he doesn't look like that guy. That doesn't appeal. That doesn't apply to me.
It's not
in
even
my
just
life.
It's not even just the looking at them and drawing them. Over time, and I know you're going to laugh at this and call me an asshole.
Oh, I know.
But
I know.
You play video games.
I do.
Okay?
Yes.
There are characters in video games.
I know what you're going to say.
And they have personalities.
Yes.
The Fantastic Four has 50 years of hundreds of thousands of pages of written text.
Right.
And a character does develop a personality over years that is recognizable.
Do they have a voice that you hear in your head when you read Fantastic Four?
Sort of.
And if the actor comes up and does not have that same voice, then you're going to be disappointed in it, at least on that level.
Yeah, sort of. Hey. Well, look, if they cast real-life people in movies, you would get upset about that.
No, absolutely. I get what you're saying. You and I shouldn't be in a Fantastic Anything movie.
Right.
the Fantastic Piles of Shit or no, something.
I guess what frustrates me about this casting, why I didn't like it, the colorblind casting is a noble attempt at doing something that comes off like a corporate decision made in a boardroom.
Yes.
And I find that cheap.
It's made to say,
instead
how can we get the blacks to come? Well, we'll put Michael B. Jordan in it, or we'll put somebody, you know.
Instead of making a new character that is an African-American and making that a real and interesting character, they instead take a pre-existing character and go, it doesn't matter. We'll cast this guy as a black guy.
What's more tokenism, creating a new character for the black guy or giving the black guy one of the white roles? You could argue one is worse than the other.
But you know what?
Worse than the other.
I'll tell you what. At least, you know what? What I'm saying is, you make a new black character, he'll never be played by a white guy.
Okay. That's fine. I don't know.
If you make a white guy, he's going to be any race they
In Hunger Games, like. Isn't Lenny Kravitz a white guy in the books?
You know, I didn't read those books,
I
don't know.
I'm not going to go down there.
But that's the new... But you know what? It's in everything. It's a creeping... Okay, in the fucking Thor movie.
Yes.
Idris Elba plays one of the Viking gods, one of the Asgardians. The last time I checked... The last time I went to ancient Norway, I didn't see any black people.
He's a good actor, Idris Elba.
He's a great actor.
Play an American. He's a Brit who can play an American like there's nobody's business.
As a progressive... But you know what? And I love the ideals behind this.
Yeah.
I do.
Right.
I'm all for inclusion.
Right.
But it feels forced in Hollywood many times.
I'm with you.
They make these fucking movies like... That awkward moment.
Yeah.
In which there's 9 white people and 1 black guy.
Yes.
And his only friends are these white people.
Sure.
This is, of course, as we know, nonsense. There's the one dumb white guy on Martin.
Right, yeah.
It's this attempt to be noble that comes off to me.
I agree.
Ham-fisted.
I think that my problem, too, is that setting all of your evidence aside, setting aside your love for Fantastic Four going back to when you were a child, you're still judging a movie that you haven't seen, and that is prevalent now in the internet culture of whenever they cast anybody in anything, everything's wrong. Whenever you show a trailer, people know exactly how the movie is based on the trailer. Oh, that looks terrible. Oh, they blew it. Blah, blah, blah. The movie doesn't come out for 8 months. It's probably not even done, and people are already judging it. And I just go, God, can everyone just fucking mellow out?
And simultaneously...
And I think it's hysteria.
Simultaneously, Guardians of the Galaxy trailer stuff
came
out.
Yeah,
speaking of a movie that doesn't come out till August.
Yeah, yeah.
The fans are liking that.
Okay, well, that's fine.
And those aren't the characters that have half as much popular success as the Fantastic Four.
My point is that everyone should fucking take a deep breath.
Oh, I know.
Wait till they see the movie and judge it. No. You know, it's okay, but I don't think that... You know, I don't think that...
I guess I also looked at it not just as a fanboy, but as a film critic.
Okay, but...
And I see this kind of casting, this kind of tokenism going on in a lot of movies.
Here's what I'll say. You don't have the right to be outraged about a movie that you haven't seen. I don't believe you do.
I wasn't outraged. I just felt...
People that are outraged. Not what I'm saying about Michael B. Jordan, but I'm saying... Whatever you is, Ben Affleck is Batman.
Whatever
there
you
are
is.
People are outraged.
You is the human torch.
But you're saying Ben Affleck. You know what I'm saying? Like, I mean, it's like, okay, Corey, here's the thing. You're going to have a pick a celebrity. Just name me a celebrity. I don't care who it is. Whoever you want.
Rob Schneider.
Rob Schneider. Rob Schneider is making you a ham sandwich.
Mm-hmm.
Should you be outraged about that?
Well, yeah, I don't know.
You don't know. I mean, you don't know. And Rob Schneider, your point, can make a great ham sandwich. You don't know. I mean,
your points about geek rage are completely valid.
Ben Affleck is a fucking. I don't think he's won an Oscar for his acting, but he's an Oscar winner. He can fucking play Batman. Guess what? Batman ain't that fucking tough to fucking play, dummies. It isn't. It's fucking Batman. I can play Batman. It's not that fucking hard. It's okay. He's Affleck. He can do it.
Yeah.
He's a fucking buff guy. They'll shoot him up with steroids. He'll look fine. Shut the fuck up. I was all pissed off about everything.
I also love
everyone's all pissed. Now I'm pissed off that they're pissed off. I'm not pissed off that Affleck's Batman, but now I'm pissed off.
No, you're right. There's a knee-jerk fan hate for everything. And I said there is. In this case, I just felt like...
Right.
I was basing this on a hunch and a suspicion.
Okay.
When you cast all those young people, that's an indication you're going for a younger audience. It's going to be like, oh, hey, man, what's happening? They're going to dumb it down.
And they may be following like the Hunger Games trend.
Yeah.
We're going to try to get sort of these
unknowns.
And it unknowns.
Also means they're doing it a little on the cheap.
Okay, and that's fine. But here's the thing. Here's how we're going to make the comic book movies from here on out, Corey. This is how we're going to do it.
Yeah.
You and I are opening a studio. We're going to go on the internet, find the 50 biggest fucking loudmouths on the internet. The biggest guys, the biggest nerds, the biggest fans. We're going to put them in a room, and they're going to come to a decision. They will unveil that to the geek world. And their decision will be greeted by what?
The exact same fucking outrage that's already hitting these people.
It's the same thing.
There were knuckleheads that wanted Glenn Danzig to play Wolverine. That would have been the stupidest thing that ever happened.
You know what? There's no... But again, you don't have the right... Look, when somebody does something bad, it's okay to be outraged with it. When Lou Reed makes an album with Metallica, we're outraged. That's a piece of shit. Let's call it as such. But let's not get into, you know... It becomes...
I know, but as a film critic, I have a smell. I can detect when something doesn't seem right.
You can't judge a movie on its... You know, like a great movie like Philomena that came out this year. Now, I know I'm comparing Philomena to Fantastic Four, and that's a stupid thing to do, but that movie looked like the biggest old lady movie you'll ever see.
I know.
Just by sort of looking at the trailer or whatever you want to see.
I got in a fight with a...
And that's a great movie. Yeah, that's why I bring it up.
I got an internet fight with a comic I'd never met who was shitting on Philomena without having seen it.
And it's a great movie that anyone can enjoy. Yeah, it's about an old lady, but it's still a great movie. Yeah. It's just a great movie. Anyone can enjoy that movie.
To me, I thought his premise was flawed.
Exactly. Well,
he was hating on it simply because it looked like it was for grown-ups.
Yes.
Which is a dumb premise.
And I get that, but I sort of go like, why can't it? Like, if you see something that you don't like, I think it's okay to bash it. And I'm a critic as much as anybody. And believe me, there's people who think when I went and read all of the Fallon tonight hashtags on Twitter at the end of that show, how many people do you think were negative on Fallon?
Now listen,
I'm not saying I was fucking adding it up with a fucking counter. The number of people that wrote negative tweets about Jimmy Fallon's performance last night on The Tonight Show in the universe, according to the Twitter that I could find, was one person in the universe, and his name was Joel Fragamenti. That's the best evidence I can give you, but it doesn't make me wrong I saw it and I criticized it, and I criticized it
There
are two.
I tweeted. This was my tweet.
I was saying live during the show. Okay. So I was
I said his new set is as brown as his nose.
And it's funny because I went on Deadline to read about his ratings, and the Deadline commentators all said he sucked dick. None of those guys were on Twitter last night, but I guess it just shows different levels of engagement that, you know.
Well, you know why? Because Twitter is like a lot of things.
It's an instantaneous
sort of like Facebook.
Putting your finger up and seeing the way the wind blows at the moment.
You know what, though? People don't go up there and go. Well, one, a lot of people are afraid to put their opinions out because they're afraid they're going to be called wrong.
Exactly.
I do nothing but put opinions out.
Yeah, I know.
And I stick by them even when I may be wrong.
Yes.
I can't think of when I've been wrong.
But it might have happened.
Sure.
All right. Well, my reason for doing so was to get people to listen to this podcast.
Not working.
And I we'll see. That's a long term goal. So once again, I do have to plug Joel Radio at Joel Radio Show on Twitter. Be sure to follow that. We'll post when the new shows go up. The other thing that we're going to do, and we're not doing it tonight because we don't have guests or anything, but I certainly am going to do this with the Omero Show, is have a lot of behind-the-scenes pictures. I think those Twitter is going to be repository for that kind of stuff. I always usually put one on the front page of joelradio.net, the main homepage. But I think if I have some extra photos, I'll put them up on the Twitter. That'll be good. So that'll be a place to get those. You'll find out when the shows come out. And I will do some live tweeting events. I will probably, in all likelihood, be live tweeting the debut of Seth Meyers, which is next Monday, if you're listening to this, the Monday coming up. I believe that's the 24th. I'll be live tweeting Seth Meyers as that happens at 12:30. And whatever else in pop culture, I'll throw it up there. So hopefully it'll be a fun place, and you guys can write back and tell us what you think. And, you know, I engaged some strangers last night in some Jimmy Fallon discussion, so it was good.
Well.
And then that turned into some movie, horror movie show host who I don't even know, and I'm not sure how that happened. But I said, talk to Corey about that.
Well, apparently.
Because he's a genius, and Corey did know a lot about this guy.
Apparently, somebody, I didn't see the episode of Fallon all the way through.
Yeah, I'm not sure who they even saying
what
the guy
was.
So I'm
not sure who it was.
If it was one of the kid inventors or Tim McGraw or Bradley Cooper.
Yeah,
but
the guy on Twitter made a reference to Morgus the Magnificent.
Yeah, I don't know who that is.
Who was a 60s horror host, who I've only really seen, you know, clips of. I wasn't around.
Yeah.
But he was in Detroit for a while.
Yeah.
And then did a lot of time in New Orleans.
Sure. See,
he's a famous.
But when was he around, though? It was before we were kids, right? No?
Yeah, it was the 60s
or
early 70s.
I wouldn't have seen him, but all right. Well, I think that's enough show. I wanted to do some Winter Olympic, but, you know, fuck it.
The Winter Olympics,
we're 2 hours in, so
the Winter Olympics will be
over.
Memory.
Yes.
All I know is that I tapped out. I mean, okay, I watched hockey.
You tried to watch, like, short track speed skating, you kept telling me was your thing.
And I watched about four of those races.
And that was it.
And I watched some curling, and then the U.S. men sucked the dick in curling, so
that was it.
My team was out.
Gave up on that.
And I'll watch the hockey finals, and then I'll be glad to not think about luge or bobsled or any of these dumb Winter Olympic sports for another 4 years.
Too much snowboarding. These Olympians are these first like couple days, it was all snowboarding. Yeah. Everyone that was winning looked like a fucking high-on, and it just was sort of embarrassing. NBC's coverage can suck a dick. I hate them. Mm-hmm. They turned the whole thing into a giant reality show. It's a giant human interest story. I really don't care. I will probably watch the hockey finals tomorrow, which would be on after would have happened already if you're listening to this. But or the hockey semifinals, anyway. Those are on tomorrow. So maybe I'll tune those in. I don't know if I'm up early enough. But, I'm not a big Olympics guy. By the way, and this is just, you know, not to be a hack and not to make jokes, but let me ask you this, and this is a legitimate thing, and I almost put this on Twitter, and I didn't because I figured I ruined people's... I tweeted 30 times in an hour. That was probably enough. Would it not be bad to just give Bob Costas sunglasses? Would that be offensive to people if the guy comes on and he's in shades? Would that have been an awful thing to put on television?
I don't know. He got a really
would it be just Howard
to
go on with sunglasses and no one cares?
Well, no.
And I get that
Howard looks like a douche.
I know, but
it's a character Stern does, but he looks like a douche.
Right, I get it. But maybe you give Bob Costas some Wayfarers and let him go out there. Who knows?
I feel bad for Bob Costas.
I do. But listen,
I feel bad NBC has pumped billions of dollars into this dead zone.
It's a ridiculous,
of a stupid,
idiotic,
fake sporting event.
It is.
Putin can go suck a dick.
He's an idiot. That's been.
I mean, we've shown
exposed.
How what a
we've
disaster.
Exposed the Russia.
Meanwhile,
sucks,
while everybody's watching this ice dance, and you know the ice dancing couple was from West Bloomfield, Bloomfield
yes, Detroiters. Yeah,
they're Detroiters, so I give them some B-town love. And actually, my aunt, is a cousin of Merrill Davis.
Well, you should be very proud of
her. So she was very proud of her. And give it up for them. But
this fat podcaster has Olympic blood flowing through his veins.
I couldn't tell you.
Corey.
No, it's not. She wasn't.
It's a marriage thing.
She's not
it's
a blood relative.
It's not a blood relative.
But, you know, my cousin's mom.
Your cousin's, yeah.
Good for them. But I couldn't tell you from one, you know, like, actually with ice dancing, you can kind of go, okay, that's a little more in sync with the other ones.
Sure,
but it's
yeah.
Like,
it's
at least the jumping, you can tell because they'll fall on their ass.
Yeah, I don't know.
The ice dancing, they never... There's an, how do you? It's
I
really
don't even,
all judging.
Who gives a shit?
Oh, there's more. There was more figure skating at this Olympics because they added an extra...
I don't know.
...leg of it. They added a team competition.
Oh, fuck all that.
God, it was ridiculous.
It's exhausting. But, yeah, fuck the Olympics. Fuck those guys.
This
I'm
is
not
what
the...
being single does for you.
But it is...
You didn't
you almost...
have to watch any of the ice skating.
You, here's what Russia looks so bad. You almost want to go get in a time machine, go back to like 1989 and go, no need to celebrate this wall coming down because the same awful shit's going to keep going on.
I will say, you know, people always go, well, communism was a terrible failure.
Yeah.
Yes, but the main petri dish where it was experimenting
right.
on.
Yeah.
Now, I'm not saying it's been a wild success in other parts like Asia, yeah. but Russia was always fucked up.
It was. Russia. Always, and it's not any better now.
Russia has always been weird and dysfunctional.
The hotels didn't have doorknobs then,
I mean,
they don't have them now.
They had a communist revolution to begin with because they had a horrible empire system. Yeah. Russia's been crazy for fucking ever.
It still is. So, great Olympics, guys.
Go suck some vodka, you freaks.
Way to go,
NBC. Meanwhile, Ukraine's burning while we're all watching ice dancing.
Yeah, that's not Russia, though. It's not their problem.
I know, but it's a former...
It's Ukraine.
Well, it's on their border.
Well.
It's a former Russian republic.
All right, we said we're not talking Olympics, and then we just talked Olympics. Listen, I want to thank everybody for listening.
Putin's an asshole, but I know what he's done in his life.
I want to thank Corey Hall.
He's had a cup of coffee.
Catch Corey live, Omera's Comedy Night, next Thursday night, February 27th. We're taping it live here for Joel Radio. I'll be doing an original set of comedy. You get to hear some of the guests from this show are going to be appearing live telling jokes. Maybe John Tenney will show up. Who knows? I don't want to promise anything. But that'll be next Thursday at Omera's in Berkeley, Michigan. Details, I'll have the details, of course, on the Twitter at Joel Radio Show, on the Facebook and all that stuff. So catch that up. Follow us on Twitter at Joel Radio Show. Mm-hmm. That we would appreciate that support. And just thanks for listening to Joel Radio. I mean, geez, it's 9 years for fuck's sake.
Hey, this show was 9 years?
Tonight. Tonight was 6 years. But previous to that, we had done.
I'm about to fall.
You can tell my voice is shot because.
Good night.
Good night. Thank you. Still not Russian. Still better than that.
What a bunch of pricks.
They don't have shows like this.
We come to Great Russia and you'll see the wonderful...
Two guys can't stay up till 1:30 in the morning in Russia.
No.
Talking about television.
Yeah, you
it's
know
It's just
what?
Not possible.
I wonder if Yuri and Yevgeny show. On the Yuri and Yevgeny podcast, we talk about American pukes. In the Hawaii, the American dancers beat our ice dancers.
Welcome to Ivangi Radio.
Yeah.
I go to website. Look at neighbor's boobs.
Oh, we've created new characters in the fade-out music.
There we go. All right, let's get out of here. We'll see everybody at O'Mara's next week. That's what we'll do. Do our Russian impressions then. Good night, people. Thanks for listening.